Hey, everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 231.
I did it.
Yay, thank you. Another rousing day, more rebirth. That's the main thing that came out today. Most thing that I can honestly say that is the one thing everybody is talking about is the rebirth books. Not much else, other stuff.
Is Marvel putting out books?
They are. One thing that was kind of interesting, there was a discussion on the Comics Pro page about Image, just saying they really haven't been coming out with much.
Yeah, they've quieted down.
Yeah, when was their last big hit? They really haven't had one. And, like, Snot Girl shipped today. And one of the talks about it was apparently sales were less than they expected, only because...
No, really?
No, orders... What do you mean?
That sales on Snot Girl were less
than
they expected?
No. Orders were less than they expected because
it's
at FOC... At FOC, they offered a thing where any orders you placed above your initial order would be returnable, and something like the stores with the highest increase would get free boxes of Kleenex, Snot Girl-themed Kleenex. Well, I'd already ordered 10 of each cover, and I'm like, my problem was the first issue of that Image Plus magazine had her on the cover and a story about it, and at the time, even at FOC, which was 3 weeks before the book ships, I had zero requests for it. And I'm like, no, I'm not ordering more. I don't care.
And neither did your customers.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, it's Brian Lee O'Malley. They're banking on the Scott Pilgrim fan base.
There were early reviews say it's a good book. Yeah, I get that he's the writer, but I'm sorry. It just sounds stupid. The name sounds stupid. The imagery seems stupid. I have less than zero interest
right.
in this book.
But I think, so it was just an interesting talk. Saying when was the last... When
for
was,
a reason.
Yeah, when was...
I think it's stupid. I think it's really stupid.
Oh,
I'm
with you. I'm just...
But yeah, there's really no buzz behind them. Marvel, even with all the hype over last week, then they followed up with very little this week. Yeah, so it's just interesting. But everybody's talking about Rebirth.
Dan Slott put an Instagram photo up today of...
Himself in another book?
Of books that he bought today from the comic book store. Mm-hmm. Four of them are DC books. None of them are Marvel.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought that they were all Wonder Woman and Future Quest. So he picked up, and nothing... A lot of DC.
So he had two covers free of each one?
He got two. I think he got some of the later ones. I think he jumped into Wonder Woman later. So he got Rebirth, okay. He got one, and he got issue two.
But, yeah, but it's just, it's interesting. And somebody, asking me if it's successful, I'm like, yeah, it's successful. I pointed to the five short boxes I had of pulls, where normally an average week is about three short boxes worth of pulls. It's normally about 11 to 13 pages of pulls. And this week was five boxes, 21 pages. And looking at next week's invoice, and I pulled it up, and it's 24 pages of pulls. So it's just... huge impact on sales and books moving, and everybody seems to be enjoying it as well. They're coming back for the twos and the threes. There is some loss, but you're going to get a lot more for the ones. The package deals I had for the ones, not everybody came back to get to, but I didn't expect them to.
I've liked a lot more than I hated. I wasn't a huge fan of Justice League. But I'll see what Justice League
I thought it was a very generic
book.
It was. It wasn't.
It just didn't have much.
I can understand that, but just on the Rebirth, because that's trying to set the stage, so I can understand it being a little generic.
Well,
the Hal Jordan was a very generic book as well.
But it was good.
Yeah.
This wasn't good.
And here's the other problem is, Hitch is just coming off his JLA run, which has not been stellar either.
Yeah.
So
he may have not been the best choice for that book.
For that Rebirth book either.
So,
for that book, you would think they would put someone they're really confident.
Wasn't it Manipul or
for
Daniel?
Justice League,
Daniel.
For Justice League, they should have put someone, a writer they're really confident.
Oh, writer, I thought you said artist. Okay.
No.
Yeah, the artist for the Rebirth issue was him.
Hitch.
Yeah, it was
him. Yeah, but I think. Yeah. Well, I did see something where
it's Tony Daniel.
Right, I did see something online where he's behind on Justice League of America because he didn't expect to have to draw the Rebirth issue that they asked him to. So yeah, that does make sense. But before we get too far, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Josh,
Dave,
Pat,
full crew. Yeah. And again, anybody wants to participate, please come down.
Participate.
Please, well, I was thinking please. I was getting ready to say
something. You're talking too quick.
I'll slow down.
He's like saying, we've got him from museum.
Museum. Come to the museum and the library. But please come
back.
There is room at the table for all
voices.
Actually,
there's not. Not. This table is full.
Well, we could get a different table.
Okay.
Yeah, there are other tables.
So.
Yeah.
This one is just perfect for us. Except Dave, who's apparently afraid to sit too close.
If we get too many people, we have to move.
Yeah, Dave, I have to say, it's not being here. I actually listened to the podcast the past 2 weeks. You can barely hear you. Okay. You sit back too far from the mic.
Like right now, like I'm a foot and a half away, and you're 6 feet away.
Last week's is better. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's closer to last week. So.
What?
I was closer last week, so hopefully we solve this problem.
Watch him be like, he won't have a control. Like, he'll be really loud all of a sudden. He'll be like, no,
who's that really loud guy?
You're down a little. What?
Well, like, this one podcast, the Comics Conspiracy one, they did a Periscope because the one guy was going off. Yeah. And I was watching it. Each of them has their own mic and they have a mixing board and all this stuff. And I'm just like, no, no offense. This works just fine.
This
it's not
surprisingly
perfect, but
sounds pretty good when you have a decent sized group. But like if you're sitting, you have to be fairly close. But
yeah, like the podcast last week started off kind of echoey, but then that got better.
That's his editing.
Oh.
No, it's.
So I normally don't listen. I only listen because I wasn't on it.
Sometimes it does get a little echoey, but all in all, it does. I think it records pretty good for something.
What?
If I would have known that, I totally would have went, pigs in space!
So, but going back just to the general, the generic rebirth talk is, I haven't read, I haven't read Justice League yet. Man, being gone for a week really put you off, and so I haven't caught back up on that, and then I had my Preacher issue, and
I'm still a little behind.
I'm behind on, I have a big stack I need to get through.
That's tough.
I
another comment every other week.
I started to reread Preacher, and
that part is starting to hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
The other week thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just totally sucked me in, and I just finished it last night. So, yeah, instead of reading the new books for today, I was finishing the last trade of Preacher. So that's past, that's beyond, behind me, but man, that was good.
That's what put me behind. Whenever I was out of town, I just took trades with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I read through trades, but I didn't read any single issues that week.
Yeah, so I missed a whole week just not being here, and the week before, because we were leaving early, you know, and so I got...
Well, so far, what was everybody's favorite so far of Rebirth? Like, I really like Superman.
The Superman's been
and
good.
The art, you know, Gleason is killing it.
My favorite Rebirth, I think, is Green Arrow.
Yeah, I read, but I'm behind. I only read one.
That's the most interesting one. Like, why is it? Why did it change from what it was before?
Because they added Black Canary back into the mix.
Oh, well,
I really, and they made him older. He's not, you know, 22 years old anymore.
Yeah.
He's, you know, a little more mature, a little world-wise.
Or he looks older because he has the goatee.
Yeah, but I think he is older.
It's Van Dyke.
Yeah, it is Van Dyke.
6-1 after Cena.
Very.
No.
And Van Dyke is just a longer goatee. The follicles are still the same.
I don't know. You're going to get argument from the National Beard Association.
Yeah,
so
they can
they
go.
Can contact Josh Smith.
This is like good title of the podcast material.
Not yet.
Argument from the
Van Dyke or goatee.
There we go. See what I mean? Yeah, you're like, I'm not getting anything better than that. Please hold.
No, I'm sorry. excuse
Van Dyke is the classic name for a goatee. Yeah.
But overall, I have to say it's been very, very positive, very successful. I haven't seen a lot of people dropping books going, I'm just really not feeling it. No, yeah, hardy horror. Where I got a message from Joe today about saying, please drop Civil War Choosing Sides. That last issue was unreadable. And I'm like, I only read number one and only half of it because I agree.
It was unreadable.
Well, I stopped before the last, it was the three-part book, and the last part was Damage Control, and I just went,
oh,
pass. So yeah, I'm definitely seeing a lot more DC moving through. It's not necessarily good or bad. I'm happy to sell all books, but I'm happy to see it being very successful. And I still want to smack the people online. They're like, oh, well, your retailer should have known to order more. It's like, yes, New 52 was very successful, but how often does it repeat? How often is there success the second time you try something? Ask Marvel. It's not, you know, when we try now and see how successful Slapstick and Solo and stuff are.
And if you order more than the Prospectors, you'd be upset. Why'd they water down the price?
Yeah. It was funny. I actually sent him a note. I was listening to his podcast Monday. I had to run Maggie to the groomer, so I was in the car all day, running back and forth, and listening to their podcast, and they were talking about the sales charts, and they were, you know, really surprised at how well Black Panther did and how well Civil War One did. Not just how well it did, but like it was head and shoulders above. And I looked up, and in those 2 months, they were in the Marvel loot crate. So I sent him a note, like saying, you know.
Yeah, that's 100,000 copies.
Well, and I actually looked up the number, and Black Panther did 258,000 for number one, and number two did 77,000. And I'm like, but if you take 100,000 off, number one, they normally have a 50% drop between one and two because of all their variants and stuff. There, if you look, especially if you look on the beat where they compare the monthly sales, it's normally from one to two is a 50% drop. And 150,000 to 77, so it was 100. It was inflated by 100,000. Just they were shocked that it beat even Batman and everything that month. Black Panther did. I'm like, well, because it wasn't real. You know, no offense, it wasn't a real number.
Yeah.
It did well, but it's going down quickly. But yeah, Rebirth good, Marvel meh, Image. Yeah, they had a new one today. Hunt, I ordered 5 copies of and sold one.
The Marvel Fringe stuff is good.
Yeah. Stuff that's not, we were talking about that earlier. Yeah, and it's the personal stuff where the writer can write his story and not having to worry about, well, is my character now a girl? Am I going to be sucked up into Civil War? Can I, you know, not be able to finish? Like, still, the fact that I think Captain America 3 or 4 is tying in, you know, the Steve Rogers book is tying into Civil War. It's like you just started the book, you have a story to tell, and suddenly you're already into the event.
But like, I love Vision, and
it's not 3, so it's probably 4. Yeah,
Moon Knight.
Yeah,
last issue Moon Knight was great.
I'm happy. I just got second prints of all the issues this week because I sold out of 3 before I could read it. I know you guys didn't like 3, but then you liked 4.
Well, 3, I felt like it kind of was stalling a little bit, but then the last one really kicked things up.
It's still, though, reading that book, it's like, is this going on in his head or not?
Yeah,
but I think it has to be going on in his head at this point.
See, I flipped. I felt that way. Now I feel like it's not.
See, to me, the appearance of the second Moon Knight, I see that as additional aspects of
his personality. I think he is imagining some things.
Okay.
But I think, like, as other people started seeing the, you know, sand and the pyramids, I think now there's something legit going on.
Unless they are also figments of his imagination. Yeah. Because the history of Moon Knight is, he sees a lot of figments of his imagination, so that could be.
We'll see, but the great thing is that we are having this discussion, like, that they have put together this book in a way where we're not sure.
Right.
And it can be interpreted either way. And that's kind of cool. That
you're absolutely right. Cut and dry. It's a little more intellectual. And,
So, good job, Jeff Lemire, Greg Smallwood.
Yeah. So, but it is funny that, you know, and even, you know, well, they're not big sales success, critical success, things like Squirrel Girl and Ms. Marvel that were really, for the most part, self-contained stories.
Yeah.
But then I'm looking at, you know, the X-Men books and the Avengers books.
What X-Men books?
There still are X-Men books right now.
I heard the Fantastic Four books aren't tying into Civil War.
No, they're not. They're not. They're not. But, yeah, overall, I don't see the love of the Marvel Universe books. And it's more the little niche, little fun ones.
There are books that I want to read, but I know that they're going to get sucked into these events, and I have no interest. I've played ball. I tried it out several times, and felt like I was burned every time. So now I just don't want to do it. Like we were talking about that Mark Waid Avengers book sounds interesting, but I'm, you know, reluctant to try it out because I know that that'll be a book that's going to be sucked into everything.
Yeah.
And Mark Waid's Hulk book was great until it got sucked into, what event did it get sucked into, Dave? There was the
Indestructible
Hulk. Indestructible Hulk.
I
don't think anything.
Nah, because it had the when the timeline was screwed up.
Yeah, that was Age of Ultron.
Yeah, it was
Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron sucked it in because the time was broken.
Yeah. Right. That was
But if it wasn't for Age of Ultron, we wouldn't have Angela.
Wow.
Thank goodness she's back in Guardians of the Galaxy.
So once that happened, that Hulk book got bad.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Events bad.
I feel like a lot of
events can be done well, but don't
stop publishing your entire line for 6 months.
Don't do events just for the sake of doing events. Like, don't do it just because it's going to have this big sales bump for all these books. Do it because the event makes sense. And only tie in the books, if you're going to tie in books, tie in the books that really, organically, make sense to tie into. The ones that where it's complementing their story, not to just, slap that banner at the top on the page.
I feel like a lot of the regular books have become like tie-ins to the events. Even because we have so many events, they're leading into something that's going to become an event, or they're already absorbed. Because
suddenly
the
stars of all these books are playing second fiddle in their own title.
It's mainly for Marvel about the event. That's
Inhumans. If you're not an Inhuman.
Or Inhumans. Everything has the time.
Everybody loves the Inhuman books.
Oh, they're the greatest.
Lockjaw.
Yeah,
greatest Marvel character.
Like Lockjaw and...
What?
They killed him.
No.
They're killing everybody.
Yeah. They killed Lockjaw?
I think so.
In
number 11.
I don't remember who an Inhuman is. I don't remember any other Inhumans.
Ulysses? Come on. The greatest of them all?
Black Bolt. He gives such great speeches to inspire... Oh, wait.
He's very inspirational.
Right.
Medusa was in that preview book shaving her head.
She's shaving her head, yeah.
She really an Inhuman if she doesn't have hair? Like, that was her
hair
power.
Does not make the man pet.
Tell that to Samson.
Oh, yeah. Man, his wife was a bitch.
Yeah.
But, okay. Pat, what do you got for news? Look at that full page of news.
Well, you got Comic-Con this week, so...
What?
Not a lot.
Like, it's starting, like, right now? Yeah.
Yeah, so, a few things have kind of come out, a lot of stuff speculation, but there's a few things. They did the Star Wars celebration last week over in London, so we got a kind of behind the scenes / trailer thing for Rogue One, which was interesting. And one of the actors let loose some major spoilers.
Oh,
the character's gonna die.
Ooh.
I'm not gonna say.
We're gonna be the ones
that spoil. But it was kind of interesting because the whole rest of
Vader.
The panel.
It's Vader that dies.
Yeah. No.
Hey, man, what happened? But the whole rest of the cast was kind of like, shut up. It was interesting.
I'm glad I missed that. I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, I guess, does it matter? Because really, I'm thinking half that crew is going to die. We're stealing the plans of the Death Star.
Yeah.
We know they're not all making it out.
Right.
It's kind of like, no one said anything about Suicide Squad, but we know someone in that movie's got to die.
Yeah.
Probably... The guy that doesn't show up in the trailer, but like in one shot.
It is called Suicide Squad.
It's gonna be that one guy. Like that one guy we didn't know anything about. We're gonna be like, yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, Slipknot. Yeah. It's gonna be Slipknot, because he was in one scene.
Yeah.
He's wearing a red shirt.
Somebody has to die to prove that there's a bomb in them.
I could see it being Will Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I could see it being the guy who probably costs a lot of money that may not want to sign on for more movies.
Yeah, but that was it was interesting, and the trailer itself.
1 week, right? 2 weeks.
No,
2 weeks.
August 5th. Yeah, August 5th.
Looking forward to a trailer. That's just kind of funny.
Tonight, Star Trek comes out.
Hmm.
I'm excited for that.
Well, speaking of Star Trek,
so am I.
The one thing J.J. Abrams was very clear about is
I'm happy about this.
They will not recast Chekhov. Now they don't know what they're going to do.
But they could, even in the original movies, when Wrath of Khan started, he was on the Reliant, working on Project Genesis, so he could be assigned to some other ship.
Yeah, it's a military organization. They move from ship to ship. Sulu took over
the Excelsior.
Yeah, the Excelsior, so, it happens.
I want that alien from the animated series. Did you ever see that?
I never watched the animated series when I was younger, but recently... Recently, Adele and I were watching TV, and I said, "All right, it's my turn to pick something." And she's like, "Well, can you pick a cartoon? I was like, all right, I'll play ball. So I looked, I was like, Star Trek the Animated Series is on here. That's a cartoon. So I put it on. It's not a very good show.
No.
It's pretty awful.
But she played ball. She sat there and watched the whole episode.
Yeah. I started to ask watch questions. Voltron Legendary Defender.
We watched the pilot for that. And that was pretty good.
I thought it was okay. I was a little disappointed. I'm not a big fan of that style of animation. And it was okay when I was a kid. And it was a Japanese show that was translated for American audiences. Yeah. But this was made for American audiences. And you know, the animation style kind of bothered me a little bit.
Yeah, that didn't bother me.
I did like that they brought back the old characters, so that was kind of cool. But, no. The guy that played the head wolf in Walking Dead, the guy's name is Benedict Samuel, he was cast as Mad Hatter in Gotham.
Yeah, I saw that.
And they also released a poster for season 3 that's a very different type of Court of Owls mask.
They showed the mask. She wears that mask, the leader of them.
It looks almost more like the ones we saw in Nightwing Rebirth.
Yes.
It's not round, though, is it?
No, it's not. It's more like a Mardi, like a Mardi Gras mask.
Yeah, it looks like it has, like, its cloth accents on it.
But
I don't want to get into like the whole drawn out thing about this show, but I'm kind of done with the show, so I don't think I'm coming.
So last night, Debbie and I wanted to watch something. Like, we wanted to watch something we didn't have to pay attention to because we're both like playing DS also. And she had make sure she's like, you pick whatever. And I looked at the DVR, and we still had 10 episodes of Gotham on the DVR.
So you're trying to get
them. Because I want to delete them, but I keep thinking, maybe I should watch them. So I've been waffling back and forth. So finally I said, I'm going to put this on because neither of us really care if we miss anything in this show. So it's a perfect thing to put in the background.
Yeah.
And sure enough,
the part that's on. Did you get to the last episode?
I didn't watch 10 episodes of one evening, Adam.
I don't know.
You
could've...
It's not like you.
He has a job.
I watched one episode. It was with Mr. Freeze. Freeze.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, with Freeze.
And it was stupid.
What the Freeze?
Yeah.
So.
He's trying to save his wife.
The problem with them.
No, was it that one or was it the?
It's when they laid the trap for him in Arkham and.
Okay.
My problem with the Court of Owls being introduced is, aren't they supposed to be very much almost like a rumor or like a, you know?
They are, but this was like, this is the one villain that makes sense because. Time doesn't matter to them. You could have them, just have them very much in the shadows.
But I don't think this show can do it subtle.
Oh, no, they know you, and that's the problem, is they can't
they're gonna
do
be,
it subtle.
They're going to be, you know, way in the forefront.
The street,
by the way, folks, Colin McMahon is playing Pokemon Go as we speak. As we speak, he's playing right now. So if you hear him being very curmudgeonly about it and giving Adam a hard time, no, the only person I see playing Pokemon Go right now.
Because you can't
is
see
Colin
Adam's
Man.
Phone.
He's doing the same thing. He's on Facebook right now.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
But no, they're gonna make it very, you know, overt, and everyone's gonna know about the Court of Owls, and Jim Gordon's gonna talk about the Court of Owls, and it's, yeah.
And they'll have a Talon.
It's gonna be nothing like the actual, you know, like the Court of Owls that Scott Snyder developed in the.
Maybe they'll even bring in Link in March. Which would make total sense at this part of the timeline.
Yeah. So. I'm really Bruce's uncle.
Yeah.
Well.
So.
You could be right about that.
What, do you know something we don't?
Yeah.
You're not going to share?
No.
He doesn't
really
know.
You're a spoiler.
You're a dick.
Well, you want to? I know. Yeah.
Go ahead.
The last episode is when they release the monsters that he's been making. One of them looks just like Bruce. And it's supposed to be...
Lincoln March.
Lincoln March.
He really did know something we didn't know.
Well, I thought he stopped watching the show.
I thought he was just, you know, grousing.
Colin had it on for a while when you were...
Don't act like you didn't watch it.
No, I watched it here. That's when I watched it.
But he wasn't playing Pokemon.
That, the only person playing Pokemon is you.
You don't know that for a fact.
And the game
for a fact, I saw you playing Pokemon.
Yeah, but you didn't see anybody else not playing.
He was on
Facebook. There's only one other person at the table on their phone. Okay, that's all I got. I'm sure
that's all you got.
Hey, there'll be plenty of news next week.
Why?
Do you got more news?
No.
They're what talking about with Supergirl bringing in the Birds of Prey.
Okay. No.
I heard about
normal
that.
No.
But that's a rumor, I thought, because I heard...
It's
now,
a rumor, but it's...
They
it's,
are bringing
yeah.
in Batgirl or Batwoman's Maggie.
Maggie, and they're talking about possibly having Batwoman.
Yeah.
And
Oracle.
Barbara Gordon, yeah.
And the other rumor that I heard is possibly even Batman himself. What I heard about that is the way
Fox,
they have to
yeah,
work
Fox
it,
has
they
the
gotta
rights.
Pay
yeah.
Fox to use it, and the only way it makes sense is to bring him across... all their shows and kind of level the playing field. Now, for Flash, that makes sense, because if you bring in Batman, you can bring him in for Flashpoint.
I mean, they're already going to bring in Superman, so I feel like at this point, they might as well.
Yeah. And that's the whole thing, is if you're saying the TV universes and the movie universes are totally disconnected, then why is it a problem to bring in these characters?
I do think once you have those characters, they kind of overshadow the characters who are supposed to be the folks of the show, so I hope they do it well.
They can.
But we couldn't have another season of them, like, you know, having all these nods and close calls with Clark Kent. It was either give a reason for why he's not there at all, or just show him already.
No more.
Here are his boots, or he's flying toward us, then
and
he plummets to the ground.
I like the text thing the most.
The text thing I didn't mind. I was like, okay, that's a neat way for them to talk without actually doing that. But then they
and just, they're cousins, so that, you know, that makes sense. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Which, the Ultimate Edition of Batman vs. Superman came out yesterday, and I was telling Colin earlier, it's okay. It does clear up a couple things, but if you hated the movie, there's nothing you're going to see on there that's going to make you love the movie. If you love the movie, there wasn't really anything that really changed it. I get why it got the R rating. There was, you got Affleck's butt, one F-bomb. The fight in the warehouse is significantly more brutal.
Murdered more people.
No, not that, but I mean, where they had fast cutaways, more people get stabbed, stuff like that.
That stuff never bothered me that much in the movies.
Batman
killed somebody. He did in the movies.
I still don't feel like... I feel like anywhere where you say he killed someone could be argued that he didn't.
I feel like none of them were overt murders. Sometimes it's just like... It's more realistic in a movie to have him, like... When he blows up the tank that the guy had on his back or whatever he had. Mm-hmm.
KG Beast.
Yeah, that's right. That's who it was. That seemed like the only option, and he took it. Like, that seemed more...
Well, and that was also pretty much a direct callback to The Dark Knight, because he says, I'll kill her.
Yeah.
You know, believe me, I'll kill her. And then Batman says, no, I believe you.
Yeah, and that's exactly
what happens in The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Except for, I think he kicks him out a window or something, I think, in The Dark Knight.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Something like
that. Yeah, that's when he had... No, he had the kid. They took the kid.
Right.
Had him in, like, a room, kills the one,
He pulls the one through the wall. Which he does the same thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they threaten to kill the kid, and he's like, yeah, I know.
It just seems more... I don't know. I didn't have a problem with that.
I feel like Batman's rule is more like, I'm not going to go... I'm not going to try to kill you,
he's
but if you happen to die, then...
So, like, yeah. He's going to... He does what he has to do, and... Yeah. And
I mean, Keaton turned around the Batmobile and turned on the afterburner on the
clown,
dude. Yeah,
and then he blew up the
Axis.
Yeah, he dropped those missile or
a little grenade
out of his tires and killed all those people in that building. There must have been tons of people.
I think Batman vs Superman, I think
Bale let Ra's al Ghul die.
But in that case, like.
That was a little bit different.
It was a little bit different. He's like, I don't have to save you either. But still, that's essentially the same as killing him.
No, you're right.
I mean, if I saw Adam hanging off of a cliff and I could easily save him, I was like, I don't have to save you. And people find out about it, they would probably say I murdered him.
Yeah.
Possibly.
He never said he was going
to
save
him. I don't think a jury would convict you. But.
Would.
No, but I didn't have so much of a problem with this because...
I could see a jury convicting on that.
Nah.
I could see that. I could see a jury convicting on it.
Not if you got a good lawyer.
And if they have a good lawyer, I could see the jury being convinced that was...
DAs or overworked?
Yeah.
OJ cut his wife's head off and got off.
Did you watch that FX series?
Uh-uh.
Oh, that was really good.
I heard that.
It was really good. It was really, really good.
The one thing I saw with when you see the Robin, you know, the I understand at that point why Bruce acted the way he did. And what's funny about that is in Under the Red Hood, that was one of... That's why Jason Todd was so pissed at Bruce, was he didn't kill the Joker after that. Mm. So I kind of understand why he went down that route, and I'm okay with it, because it makes sense. After what happened to his partner, he's not going to take the chance. He's just going to wipe out crime. But it, you know, it's decent. You know, I wanted to see it the second time.
You girls okay over there?
I didn't do anything. It was Adam.
Giggle Twins over here playing your Pokemon game.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I only played it because you said you were playing it. You said you were.
I checked it out.
Or however, whenever you were here. Oh, at the midnight release party. Yeah.
Yeah, I checked it out. Because you said there was all these people here playing Pokemon.
Yeah, we're
playing Pomongo.
Pokemon.
That's right.
That's what everybody's been saying. They're like, I can't wait until the South Park episode about this. You know there's going to be one.
Oh, yeah.
No, I want them to have a Pokemon Go game. Or I would play that.
Shoe.
That's a good episode.
Give me candy, give me banging. Go ahead, Colin. Go off on your rant.
No. You said I did the rant last week, so I'm not going to go off on it.
No, just, I don't recall you did the rant. I just remember you said the new Coke thing.
Oh, just I came up with theory just thinking about all the Marvel stuff that they're doing and trying to figure out exactly what's going on, because basically they have replaced just about all their A-list heroes. Someone's library was giving those out.
Library?
Yes, the library next to the museum. but so I was thinking with the last week, spoilers of killing off Bruce Banner Hulk, so all we have is Amadeus Cho Hulk, and then the impending replacement of Iron Man with Riri Williams, they basically replaced all of their A-list characters with substitute heroes. And I was thinking, even Hawkeye, who's now in jail, but the new Hawkeye series is starring Kate Bishop, it's like Captain America, well, has been replaced by Falcon and is back, but he's not really there because he's Hydra. And just, you know, so Iron Man's gone, Thor's gone, Hulk's gone, Wasp, there's a new Wasp, different Ant-Man, because...
Scott Lang.
Yes. So,
Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four's gone, the X-Men are going away. So it's like, but their sales are still strong enough. You know, they're still winning the sales charts, they're doing all that because of their events and hype and
loot crates
and stuff like that. So I see them going on, and it's kind of like New Coke, where Coke changed to New Coke and still did okay, wasn't as good. And then after a while, they brought back Classic Coke, and all of a sudden, boom, you know, it exploded, and their sales were probably higher than they had been before. I see Marvel doing this, maybe next summer, coming out with...
But they're not going to have Bill Cosby be the spokesman for it.
No, but they're going to come out, and it's going to be a really unique name. A name they've never used before. They're going to... I'm predicting...
Rebirth?
No. Their next event... I don't want to say it's going to be in a year. I don't know when it'll be. But this is my prediction. We're going to get Heroes Reborn, and they're going to bring back all their heroes. And it's going to be a big, dramatic... The return of the heroes you knew and loved, and they're going to make it a big thing and try to do a rebirth type thing.
I mean, they're going from all of the, you know, like you've been saying, the bottom of the barrel.
Well, it's just, I mean...
Events, so they're getting to their worst one.
Well, they're using all their names, right.
So Heroes Reborn is that.
Right, or Heroes Return, or whatever they want to call it. Yeah. But, yeah, that's just my prediction, the way I see this going, because just as I was thinking, I'm like, they're really, you know, when I say it's not my dad's Avengers, none of my dad's Avengers exist. Although my dad didn't read comics, but you know what I mean.
Point,
but
yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, but my concern, I was talking with somebody about this, like, via Facebook today, is how long before you would alienate those longtime fans?
Yeah, so if you wait a year, am I going to care enough to pick up another one?
Avengers are back. You know what? I had it for so long, and it's a new number one. You know what? I had Avengers 200 through whatever, and I stuck through all your new number ones, but I'm just not interested anymore. So
plus
I'm,
4 issues into it, you're going to go into an event, and I just don't care.
But I've seen it like the guy who was just here was predominantly a Marvel guy, and that was the main thing he'd get, and maybe Batman and stuff like that. And now you look at his pile, and it's 80% DC, and he's still getting his X-Men, you know, Uncanny X-Men, things like that, because he has. But those are going away, you know, and we're going to get more, you know, Inhumans. But
you know, like with Spider-Man, I had a compulsion. Okay, I got to get Spider-Man. It got up to issue 700. Great, you know. Well, then it went to number one. Oh, that's a jumping off point to me. Although it,
don't worry, it'll be back at 800 anytime.
They've done it before, but my biggest problem is
you got to add the Superior Spider-Man.
It's not that number one that bothered me. It's when they did it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I. And, you know, when they did it the first time, it went through Superior Spider-Man, which I love that series. I had no problem with that. Yeah. And then, I, you know, when they brought back The Amazing Spider-Man, it was a number one, which I was okay with, although I would have started at 701, but okay, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
They did 700.1. They did that book. Yeah.
Yeah, 0.1 through 0.5.
That came out, what, 2 years after the fact?
Maybe a year, but yeah. And that was one of those I remember going, I don't know how to order this book.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, Marvel was helpful and coded it the same as Spider-Man.
It was very helpful.
It was very helpful. It was very, very helpful. It's funny, like, I look at next week as that Amazing Spider-Man 1.6. I'm like, I thought it was over. I thought we were done with this one. Oh. But
that's just the attitude, right? To have with these books. I thought we were done.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, still going.
Yeah. All new Marvel. Are we done yet?
You know, but this Heroes Reborn idea that you just said, like, it probably is what they're where they're going. But
it is now. It's already out.
This is where they should have went a long time ago.
Should have copywritten.
They were at a point where they could have done this a long time ago and kind of refreshed.
Well, we all thought they were going to do it at AVX. That was a perfect opportunity with the Phoenix coming and redo the world.
AVX was, but when they were doing
Secret Wars, were perfect.
What was that event? That not events, but that big name after Siege. They call it the Heroic Age.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a perfect time for them to say, "Okay, that whole Bendis story that he was writing for years is done. We're bringing everybody back. Cap is, you know, back. Everybody's here."
Yeah, but then once Hickman got control of everything, it we would have been in the same place.
Yeah. But I feel like they had the point, though. But they didn't. They never take it.
Yeah. Well, why? Every 6 months, come out with a new number one, get a bump in sales, and
people do it. I've been seeing more and more about them taking this seasonal aspect. I think I talked about last week when in the little preview book for the Marvel Now, it said
Alonzo actually called
used the word seasons, and Peter David had a blog post talking about that they should get rid of numbering and just put the date on each book, so it'll be the July 2016 issue. I'm like, okay, but what if you come out with 2 issues? What if you know, and just imagine looking through back issues, and how is the Overstreet book going to look? You know, it's like, what's so hard about numbers?
Yeah, why change?
Why is a number so hard to do? It's just as a sense of organization.
Yeah, if you got Squirrel Girl had 3 number ones last year, so you know
it was only 2, but yeah,
I thought it was 3. But so it's you know volume 3, volume 4, volume 5.
Right.
So now you got.
But
know,
even in that, it gets confusing. Absolutely.
Right, you
got to
know
absolutely.
Okay, well, who was the writer on volume 3? Oh no, yeah. I thought that was volume 4.
Well, the trades, and especially if you're going to do that, you change your trade dress so that it's easy to understand.
Yeah.
That's the big thing with Marvel on that. But yeah, I just don't... And when people make that argument, I said, you know what? I had no problem getting people to read Justice League number 40, the beginning of the Darkseid War. No one balks it. Oh, it's issue 40. I have to read all the ones before it. No, you don't. You can start here.
Yeah.
I promise you. That's you can start right here.
That's the whole purpose of starting a new arc.
So, why is that or that bump?
Oh,
so is that your keyboard?
This is the iPad Pro.
Okay, gotcha.
This is the new smart keyboard.
Okay. Sorry. It just looked odd.
I was on
the. And I get that now they write for trades, which also makes it different.
But the trades don't sell. That's what kills me about Marvel. Why are you writing for trades? It was beautiful last week. Big Bang Comics out of Dublin, Ireland posted a picture on Twitter, and it was a Marvel trade next to Monstrous. And the Monstrous trade was clearly twice as big. And they said one of these is $16.99, the other one's $9.99, and it had the little emoji of a guy with a, you know, stroking his chin, like, mm-hmm. you know, the question mark. Exactly. Thank you, Josh. You all can see that. And so I tweeted to him, I said, look at the Spider-Woman trade.
Yeah.
And I said, it's even worse. And they responded back, and their entire reply was, oh, God. And then what I loved is Tyler Crook liked my tweet. Tyler Crook is the artist on Harrow County. Mm-hmm. Really cool guy. I met him in Portland. But it was just very funny, of all people, to like my tweet.
And I was joking, but I wasn't. When I saw the Legends of Tomorrow book that Josh had,
yeah.
I thought that was a Marvel trade. Yeah. And I was like, what trade are you buying?
Yeah, for $7.99. Yeah.
Well, no, I know.
No, I know, but I'm just saying. But, yeah.
$17.99.
Yeah. So I don't know. They write for the trade, but then they don't price their trades in a method to sell. And I don't know what their arguments are, because their trade numbers can't be good. They cannot have good sell-through.
That is a big trade.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, this is all dinged up. That cover's all bent.
Why'd you do that?
I picked it.
Okay. You touched it last. Now Spider-Women is right on the end of that shelf.
Correct.
Now, you know, look at the thickness. Well, just hold it. Yeah. But Spider-Woman costs three times as much. It's a $29.99 trade.
Oh, so Spider-Woman is two-thirds the size of Monstrous.
For three times the price.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy.
But it's not all dinged up. Oh, that is weird. That's their coating. I had another trade come in last week. And it's...
Look, if you open up the cover. Open up the back cover.
Oh, you're right, yeah. Okay, I'm going to say it was just the cover stock. It got wrinkled. Yeah. Well, I mean, the sheet of paper. Yeah. I had that with another book, where it was like
that. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, there was one where the actual coating was peeling off one of the Marvel books. Yeah, it was like, oof.
They're made of garbage. So.
Hey, it's a family podcast.
The other ones are
okay. Actually, put it on the counter if you would. Because I also had another something came in this week that was. Oh, I had a Huck one that I didn't realize was damaged.
Yep, I found that.
Yeah. So.
Okay, so what's your recall?
You want to start with me? I'll start. Now, I know everybody read this one. It was the book of the week. We had a midnight release for it. Sold like gangbusters.
Like four copies?
Yeah, $10. He's playing Pokemon right now.
I am.
Yeah.
I could see it in the glass. Yeah.
Sorry, I just want to say. But Civil War 2, number 3, we had the midnight release. It was fine. I have no problem with what happened. I don't mind them killing off Bruce Banner. Sorry, spoilers. I had a problem with the manner in which they did it and everything that kind of happened after that. Basically, Ulysses discovered or had a vision that Hulk killed all the heroes. And so they went to confront Bruce Banner. Well, Bruce is sitting in his lab saying, yeah, I haven't Hulked for a year. And then they're like, well, you need to come with us. It's like, okay, so they come outside of this hidden remote lab that he has in like the middle of this big field. And all the heroes are there confronting him. And Captain Marvel is like getting on him, and you killed all these people and all this. And he's like, no, I didn't. And he's getting agitated, but he still hasn't Hulked because he's taking this...
Big Bad Week?
This like something to keep him from Hulking. And then Beast hacks his computer files and finds that he's been experimenting with gamma stuff. He's like, yes, I've been experimenting with it on myself. And that's what's kept me from becoming the Hulk for a year. And then somebody else says something, and he like turns and he's like yelling at them. at which point Hawkeye puts an arrow through his head. It's a special arrow that apparently Bruce Banner had given him to take him out if he ever became a threat again. And according to Hawkeye later, he saw his tint of his eye turn green and he was about to Hulk out, so he shot him. Even though no one else saw this, but due to his advanced senses, he could tell that. And it's like, well, one, your advanced senses, aren't you deaf? And not that that plays a role in this, but claiming you
have...
That's
not how his... He were.
Yes, it is, apparently.
That's not... He doesn't have, like, spider sense. Like,
he has excellent vision to be able to be so accurate.
Yeah, the same reason why Daredevil can hear everything, because he's
that's,
blind.
Well, that's
he just went deaf recently.
Yeah, I know.
He just went deaf.
Fractions.
Yeah.
But, and it's been dismissed. They've never... Don't talk about that anymore. But there was an article online saying, wasn't Hawkeye, whatever Hawkeye, heaven to Hawkeye.
Hawkeye.
And then, so it just kind of went through this, and then you're getting into the trial and talking, it's all flash, you know how Bendis likes to do his, so everything is taking place 6 months after. So apparently Hulk died 6 months ago, nobody knew.
It's not in any of the books, so it doesn't matter.
True,
yeah, Amadeus
true.
Show.
Absolutely.
Amadeus?
Rock me, Amadeus, yes. And then, so it's just kind of setting the trial, and he has this defense that Hulk wanted him to do it. And it just made me mad, just in the sense that basically Bruce Banner was executed by Hawkeye for no valid reason.
On the show of a bad Minority Report ripoff.
Right, yeah. And that's the thing, is the one good thing that I did like about the book was it ended with Iron Man's computer about to tell him he's analyzed Ulysses' power and was about to reveal what his real power is, how it's actually activated. Because Bruce Banner, Tony Stark is the only person asking, what are these visions? Is he creating these visions?
Right.
Is this actually a vision of the future? Has that proven out? Because even during the trial or congressional hearing or whatever it was, I don't remember exactly, but they were talking about, has he ever been wrong? And there were answers kind of like, well, no, not really. There was never, it wasn't a definitive
not
no.
Really, it's not really as strong.
Exactly. And so it's one of those, I'm glad at least one person is going, because I'm not a big fan of, hey, we just created a new hero who could do exactly what we need him to do so that this story will work. And they're actually playing off that so that Tony Stark is actually going, well, what exactly are his powers? What exactly is going on here? So now they finally revealed that Accused is going to be the trial with... I still don't understand how Hawkeye enlisted Matt Murdock's aide to be his prosecutor. Didn't understand that. And
you don't normally get to pick who your prosecutor is.
Right. No, you mean his defender.
No, Matt Murdock's his
Matt's
prosecutor.
Dude, he's a prosecutor now.
Oh.
Yeah, so that wording was just odd. And the other one, I guess, is focusing on the Hulk. I forget the name of it. It was the Departed or something like that.
I was going to say, it's got to be a quiet book, just the Hulk.
Yeah. But, yeah, so not a horrible book.
I would be surprised if Marvel didn't try that. He did 22 pages of the Hulk just laying there in a box.
It did just make me mad reading it.
Hulk decompose.
Again, not that they killed the Hulk. That's fine. That's a plot point, whatever. But just, basically, he was executed for no reason. I didn't like that.
I don't know how an arrow is going to kill the Hulk either.
Well, because he's not the Hulk anymore.
He was
that's the whole point.
Yeah,
here's the thing. This is a special arrow. How it'll happen though? He almost has a healing factor, so he'll
not anymore.
Because of what?
Right, because he's no longer the Hulk.
Yeah.
I understand, but I'm just saying.
I mean, he is
somewhere
right.
Like
in there. He's
the
Hulk.
Yeah, but it wasn't like he got shot in the head. He didn't turn into the Hulk instantly.
Well, but I mean, they've done that where he's tried to shoot himself.
They did
so
it with
yeah.
the recent run.
Oh, okay, but
so
even in the past,
don't really understand.
He lost his memories for a while.
Really
oh, where he shot himself
Hulk,
and then Hulk sped out the
he
bullet.
He could just
no,
regrow.
That was
not
in Banner,
but
that was
with,
a Banner book.
The four
yeah.
issues of Wade's like renumbered run, he got shot in the back of the head, and it was like, who shot Bruce Banner was on the
right, right, right.
I don't know if it should irk me about that book or not, but the entire main story is told in a flashback.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's Bendis.
And it's just him showing how clever he is, I guess. But
you don't sound like you feel he's very clever.
I don't think it added anything to the story at all.
I didn't read it. My knowledge is going off of articles and conversations.
That book you just mentioned, Banner, is that a trade? Mm-hmm.
I think so.
That was really good.
That was Richard Corbin. That was a good one, yeah.
The fact that he's like, I'm going to end it, and he tries to put a bullet in his head, and Hulk won't let him.
Kind of like they say that in the movies.
Avengers.
Yeah.
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 Okay. That's where they got that. But that was a really crazy book.
So, didn't hate it, but didn't love it. Also didn't like that 9 o'clock on the evening of the midnight release, comicbook.com released an interview with Axel Alonso, spoiling the whole thing. It's like, thanks, guys. Love ya. Love ya.
Well, the cover spoiled it anyway.
Kinda, but it didn't totally.
Shoot, I think the comic book news would have been like, wait, should we be...
Why? You're the first one out there. That's of course true, you want to be the first one out there.
If you want to be that company that's just like they spoiled it.
Literally. I liked that someone pointed out that the Scotty Young variant cover
a long while ago. Gave it away. I doubt it was supposed to, but yeah.
But I mean, it was a Hawkeye arrow stuck to Hulk's head.
Even not like Wild and Crazy Guys.
Even those covers, like one featuring Hulk, one featuring Hawkeye with an arrow ready. Didn't think this one.
That would have been even better.
And then the surprise, the body bag issue, the cover was pretty bad.
Yeah, it was not that great. No. It did not sell. And it was black and white. It would have been much better in color. Yes, you know, so, that had a rushed feel to it.
Yeah.
So, I only read a few, so this is good that I'm starting. Hal Jordan, number one. Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern.
I liked that quite a bit.
I liked it, but I'm just saying it was kind of generic.
Well, that one... The Green Lantern books have been so off the beaten path recently that I feel like that one had the weight of having to try and tell the recap of everything that's been going on and be a bridge for old readers and new readers, kind of fill them in, and also try and, you know, wipe out some of the stuff that had happened and bring him back to being a Green Lantern.
Right.
And I thought that Venditti did a fantastic job with it. Even though it felt like kind of a rehash of some things, or just, you know, a generic, you know, story, I felt it was what it had to be for a rebirth issue, and it really sets up the new series.
My one question. So basically, the story in Hal Jordan was he's off on this distant planet, and he's basically forging his own ring. It does explain what happened, that he was using this Kronos gauntlet. Because his ring was gone and he took the sins of all the Lantern Corps on himself.
He gave the rest of the universe a target to send all their mistrust on.
So, but the one thing his forging this is felt throughout the universe as he's hammering, I don't know what he was saying, green stuff to make his ring. Will. He's hammering Will.
Forging Will.
The one thing Sinestro was like 200 years old. Yeah, when did that happen?
That I didn't get, because that's not consistent with what's going on.
Okay,
because
I was very confused by that. And he's near death.
He was injured, or not injured. He used Parallax to kickstart War World, which is... You know, that's fine.
In the story, took the place of Oa, the destroyed Oa.
Well, but that was just it. It had never taken that part didn't happen. He was weak, but he didn't age. Or, you know, he didn't age overnight to be 200 years old or whatever. That was a little confusing. But I got to assume... And that's the problem. If you read the Sinestro book, you can assume, okay, that's what happened. Mm-hmm. But if you didn't read the Sinestro book, it would be... Because nothing told you, hey, this is taking place in the future. So it would be like, well, the last time I saw Sinestro, if you're just reading the Green Lantern book, was at the end of John's run.
But as someone who wasn't reading the Sinestro book, I read it and thought... Oh, I wonder what's going on here.
Well, no, but I mean, you wouldn't have known to make that leap that's what happened. It was, something happened to Sinestro, and now he's old for some reason. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, Colin got up and walking over.
Colin has had to use the bathroom at least 7 times since I got here at 6 o'clock.
At his age?
Well, yeah, I was just going to say that. Oh, he beat me to it.
Ah.
That's okay.
All right, Adam, you go.
It's still funny. Okay, I'll start with a few that I know that only a few of us read. Daredevil number 9. Dave, did you read that?
Yeah, I read that.
This, for as much as I like the previous issue, this one kind of was like, the casino issue was really good, but this one, he teams up with Spider-Man to retrieve a briefcase in a casino, and they do, and it's not really, there's not much to say about this book. That's kind of my big problem, because they retrieve it, and then Spider-Man wonders what was in it. Daredevil doesn't want to tell him, but he finally does, and he reveals to him why there's gaps in his memory about something. And I thought that was the biggest point of the book, but really all of the in-between was just, you know, done. Like, when it happened, it was done. We moved on. It's nothing too much happened.
I enjoyed it. It really felt like an old, like, Marvel team-up.
Yeah, it did feel, I get what you're saying,
issue.
Spider-Man was a little too jokey. He's not like Deadpool, and I think they sometimes put too many. Other writers sometimes make him a little too jokey.
I liked his back and forth with Matt, like, comments on his black costume and tells him, I went through that phase.
That phase, the black costume.
But that's okay, because you gotta find the joy again, you know, in what we do. And I like that. I like that stuff.
But in the briefcases, basically information on every, like, crime lord.
It's the Black Cat's information on all the...
And it's how he's going to take them all down at once.
Yeah.
That's his next mission.
Didn't they do that when it was called the Omega Drive? Like...
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, because he had that Reed Richards, like, the 4... And it was the Omega Drive, and it had all this information on it. It was like a tie-in book that tied in.
It was Daredevil, Punisher, and Spider-Man. Yeah,
And it led to this drive that was Reed Richard made it, but it was part of like the suit, so it had a big 4 on it, and they were trying to get it for all this information. But very similar, yeah. Now that you bring that up,
they're even repeating their minor events.
Yeah, but yeah, it was okay. Sabrina.
I didn't read it yet. I really liked that issue.
Nothing really spoiled because it was more of a filler.
Yeah, but it was all about Salem the Cat and his origin.
Basically, and the two snakes.
I liked it.
I was sitting there reading it, and both stories were just really good. How the snakes were, jealous of their.
Well, they were an Indian prince and princess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the guy who was their tutor.
It's always that in these stories, like the Arabian Nights story.
Yeah, but it was, you know, he tricks them into trying to kill their stepmother, and
they
pay the price.
Yeah. And Salem's story was really interesting. The fact that, you know, he kind of deserved it in one way. No, I mean, he didn't deserve that, but, like, he... just for, like... He wasn't as bad as, like, they were making him, but he did, you know, try to jump from one girl to another.
Yeah, but you're also looking at it through 21st century lens.
Yeah.
Back, if you know, I think it happened like 1640 or whatever, or whatever it was. If you look at it through that lens, what he did was pretty damn.
That's true, because I forgot the part where he was wanting to get rid of the baby.
Yeah, they're Puritans, and that that's
I forgot about that part, but yeah, that was pretty bad. But he, it's him showing up. He shows up. I guess he was coming from.
He was a sailor, and there was no work.
That's right. And shows up. He lives in this farm. He helps out as a farmhand. He kind of hooks up with this.
Their nanny.
And he kind of betrays her once he figures out that she is pregnant. And she kind of holds a grudge against him. He tries to hook up with
her friend.
And they had this plan set up of leading him into the woods to, you know, meet with the coven.
So the best part was the whole time he was staying in the barn with a goat.
Yeah.
And then we find out who the goat is.
Who the goat is, but it's actually,
Those panels of her you know, fawning over the devil goat there. Yeah. Just so creepy, my goodness.
Yeah.
The art is perfect in this book.
This may have been the best issue of Sabrina.
Yeah.
Just had a really good, story. And it just looked really nice.
It did.
It just looked really nice for all these stories. I've always liked Salem as a character, even the old Sabrina stuff, too, the television show that they had in the 90s had him as kind of a snarky cat. But this was just such an interesting,
it's really well
origin done for him, so I really liked it. Old Man Logan. The previous arc I really liked as well, and this one just, it was kind of a one-and-done kind of story, dealing with, Logan being kind of depressed about the whole situation, which kind of bothered me, because this one-and-done didn't make any sense, because he ended up back at the X-Mansion, and in the last issue he said he was going on his own to kind of, so he would be away from everybody, so he wouldn't hurt anybody. And then he was back at the X-Mansion.
He got lonely.
Yeah, I guess so. But Jean Grey, who I keep forgetting is alive because they brought her from a different time.
It's not his genes.
No. Yeah, it's not even really his anyways, even if it's an older Jean or the actual Jean Grey, because he's from a different dimension or whatever. But she wants to help him understand that this isn't his world, that he can't be that upset about it because this isn't happening. And he keeps feeling like it's
going to
happen.
Your feelings are invalid. Shut up.
So she gives him a tour of areas, and she's like, different areas from Old Man Logan and the main book. And they're not like that. Like, there isn't a giant man skeleton in the middle of a desert somewhere. He's not dead. Yeah. But that's where they're getting to. He feels like it's going to happen. It's just, because he lived it. So it has to happen, according to him. So she just takes him on this tour to try to make him feel better. And then the last part is she takes him to one last place. And it's like Jubilee's there, and Cap, and Puck. And they're sitting there, Hawkeye. And they're just trying to say, we're still here, we're friends. And, everything's okay. But he still doesn't believe. Because Jubilee and Old Man Logan, the original book, he kills in that whole thing, where Mysterio comes in and changes reality to make him look like villains are coming in, but he kills all the X-Men. Wolverine does. But it just, one and done, didn't really lead the story anywhere. I don't think they can kind of have all these one and dones, because it kind of distracts from the story. You can't bring a story back out with a new number one and then just within that many issues all of a sudden just be like, well, never mind, we're going to just do a one and done story that doesn't make any sense for the previous arc.
Well, because probably the next one ties into Civil War.
Supposedly he's going to Japan, so maybe this
Civil War Japan.
But it's not a bad series, just this issue was not needed at all. So, but I will say one cool thing about the issue. One cool thing about the issue, they did kind of explain some of the what happened to the Avengers in the Old Man Logan book. Because you never really saw that. You just saw the giant man skeleton in the desert and stuff. It shows how that got there and, how Cap got where he was and so on. But not horrible, but Wacky Graceland. I liked issue two. I liked Dick Dastardly's little origin story. It was really messed up, though.
Yeah,
it kind of fits the character. It kind of explains some things. This issue I liked a lot better than the first issue. I'm not a huge fan of the art, though, of this book.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I enjoyed the first issue a lot more than this. And it's not that the story was bad. It was interesting enough.
Uh-huh.
But the whole thing was just kind of like, really?
Yeah.
It seemed like lazy storytelling in places.
I don't know. I kind of like I like how we are getting. Like, they have a lot of origin stories to get through, though. Because, they went through it, and then they didn't have a backup in this one.
That's just it, though. There's 12 racers.
Yeah.
So what, for the whole first year, you're going to get nothing but origin stories? I don't want to read that.
I think they either needed to keep that backup issue of just explaining some of the fill-in and get some story going on it.
Because you had Penelope Pitstop in the first one, and you got Dick Dastardly, but not Muttley, but you got Dick Dastardly in the second one.
Yeah.
I really don't care about any of the other characters, so why would I...
Yeah, I think you need to only give origins for the main three, and then kind of, work with it as it goes. Start doing some story, maybe then give some more origins if necessary.
Yeah.
But this issue, they're continuing on with a race, and Dick Dastardly stops because this is where,
he
was a performer.
Yeah.
Looks like he was a violinist, concert violinist.
I kept thinking he said he was a pianist. And then
He was a pianist, but his son wanted to see the Stradivarius violin.
Okay, right.
That's
okay.
Right, that's
okay.
Right, that's what it was.
Okay.
Basically, when he was performing is when the apocalypse happened. And they knew it was happening because they kept saying, don't worry, I'm not going to let a bunch of mugs, bother me.
They kept playing on the Titanic. They didn't stop.
Yeah, so they kept going. But they didn't really say, when they did say there were bugs as part of this apocalypse, they didn't say what exactly they were, and it turned out that they were
flesh-eating nanites.
Yeah, and
they're flesh-eating nanites.
Yeah, they do the opposite. They don't help.
I can see Bloodshot eating someone.
He could. I mean,
Bloodhound.
Bloodsquirt.
Bloodsquirt would definitely eat someone.
Yeah.
Character's messed up too. You kind of see that he's always been kind of a,
he shut his family out to die. It obviously tore him up, but he did it.
But he did it. He was just like, oh no, I can't, because he was afraid.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't save his family, and the fact that they get vaporized right in front of him.
Who's that?
Agent M.
I forgot about Agent M.
No, I don't know.
You forgot about Agent M?
Yeah.
I have no idea who Agent M is.
Agent M.
Does he have their skulls in the
car? That's what he collected. He went in to get... You thought he was going to get the violin.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He got their skulls. So it shows that he is actually mourning them over his own ambitions. Yeah.
Well, no, because that was the whole thing. He had to have their skulls in order to have the DNA in order for them to come back if he wins the race.
Yeah,
right,
that's right.
That's what
it
is. Okay,
right. That whole thing was so convoluted. Like, okay, this thing is all powerful.
I don't believe this.
He made the car sentient, but if he doesn't have the skulls that have the right DNA material, he can't bring them back.
Yeah.
And by the way, if they have their memories and, let them get eaten. Do you think they really want to hang out with Dick Dastardly?
Yeah.
Probably not.
No, not after that. Hopefully they don't have their memories, because they're going to be like, you left us get vaporized by bugs.
Yeah.
It's not my favorite. Not at all. But this issue I did like. Let's see. Flash.
I like Flash quite a bit.
I did. I'm not a huge fan of the Argus, though.
I like the art a lot.
I don't like how angular.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the cover was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did have a cool cover.
Yeah, the cover was really nice.
I feel like the angular art works well with the speed. Like the Speed Force aspects of it.
That's a good point.
Yeah, okay.
I can see that. He's trying to teach, August. How to use his powers.
Yeah, which you have August, who is approaching it as, since we have these powers, we can just, get rid of all these criminals instantly, whereas Barry's more, no, we still have to follow, the laws and go by the book.
Throw him into the Speed Force.
But yeah. August's sister was killed.
Brother.
Or was it brother? Okay, yeah, and that's... where Barry had years to kind of process everything.
He didn't.
He didn't.
I think it's also that they have two different attitudes. They have, Barry goes into it more logically, where I think it's trying to say, one's a scientist, one's not. He deals with action.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that has a lot to do with it.
I kind of like how they're having these characters, like bringing this character and having him, you know, because I always like it when they try to build more to the universe.
And now they're bringing a whole bunch.
Yeah. With the Speed Force storm.
It's kind of interesting, though, that the lightning is striking so much, though.
Well, someone's causing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was... Storm.
She jumped the Marvel Universe.
I would if you were an X-Men right now. Yes. You'd be like, I'm going to a publisher who cares.
The characters went on strike.
That would be crazy. Storm shows up in a book. You're like, well, you shouldn't be here.
But no, I like this a lot. I really like what you're doing, Flash.
I like the writer anyways because I'm reading Birthright. I've been reading it since it started. It's I like the writer a lot.
Who's the writer?
Williamson. Joshua Williamson. I've liked it. Really good. It's issue two. The Rebirth issue didn't have as much to do with the main story.
That,
issue one.
That
did.
Rebirth issue
rebirth
is more,
is,
was more Rebirth number two.
Yeah. So.
But.
I like that this is kind of now gone to just being a Flash book and not.
Yeah.
You know, we got Titans Rebirth. But we haven't gotten a Titans number
next
one.
Next week, it's a monthly.
Yeah.
Oh, is it a monthly?
Yeah, because not everything is.
Thank goodness.
Okay.
What's that the other?
Many more of these
No, I know that's.
Oh, I don't know. I think the last issue, or at least the next issue of Teen Titans is next week.
Okay. I was curious about that one. But that's it. I'll talk about the other ones.
You want to finish your list there, Paco?
Yeah.
Sorry. That's what I get for trying to drink more water and less pop. New Superman number one. Now, I really didn't know what to make of this going in. I just knew it was basically a new character. Interesting. Basically a jerk. With zero redeeming qualities.
Yeah.
Accidentally saves somebody he's bullying from a big super villain. And kind of gets recruited into this hero creating program, I guess,
with the doctor that we saw during that big crossover event in the end of the Superman books right before Rebirth.
Oh, same pro. Okay. Mm-hmm. So basically they put him into this chamber
and blast him with Superman's it looks like Superman's super
it had a very much Justice League 3000 feel to it as I was reading just that part of it.
Yeah.
And then basically he kind of breaks out of it. I don't know if it was willingly or unwillingly. He was just being overwhelmed with...
Well, they shut it down, and they said, well, he's either going to survive or he's already dead anyway.
Right. And then, as he's out, all of a sudden he's confronted by the Chinese
Batman and Wonder Woman.
Yeah. So it's interesting.
He kind of loses control, and he's a bit arrogant and won't listen to what they're saying. Yeah. So then they call in, their Batman and their Wonder Woman.
Now, the only problem I had with it, the story was fine. I'm going to read number two because I want to see where it's going. But it has a common problem I have with Chinese and Asian names where he's Kenan Kong for half the book, and for half the book he's Kong Kenan. And I just found it confusing.
Well, we would consider to be their first name.
Right, no, I understand. Right, no, I understand that. But it's switched in the book itself.
Well, what I found is whenever they were like referring to him, like in whenever it was almost like the narrator referring to him,
okay.
Then they said it like Kenan Kong.
Okay.
But whenever it was someone else who was Mandarin talking to him, then they would say, like, Kong Keenan.
Okay. I just found it confusing.
Yeah, so it seemed like in conversation they would
Wikipedia
do it that way.
Colin.
And I also didn't understand why they needed to say, instead of just saying, this is in Mandarin, accept these words, I found that just an odd differential.
Yeah.
Why just say it's all in Mandarin? I didn't understand. It had some things where it highlighted.
Just saying,
because
I think
English pronouns are sometimes said in
I get
English.
It, but...
They were trying to
make it as realistic
as possible.
It didn't bother me, but it was just something that kind of jumped out at you.
I mean, I like the book, don't get me wrong, but I kind of sitting there and I'm reading, I'm like, I don't know why this is a book.
Yeah.
Like, why not bring the character in slowly, unless you're going to have the Chinese Justice League, you know, kind of like how they did Justice League 3000, why would you bring this character in this way? Like, why not set it up something in a Superman book or in another book, and then kind of gauge interest.
I mean, I get what you're saying. I don't see a problem with them doing it this way. I mean, they had Gene Yang, is that the right name?
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably something he pitched you what to do. He was writing Superman before. They touched on the idea of this in the Superman titles before Rebirth, I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, but it felt like, and I read that issue, I wasn't reading Superman, but I read that issue thinking that that might be the setup for this book and explain why this book exists. But I don't, you know, it didn't really do that. And not that it's a bad book. I'll certainly read number two to see, you know, where things are going with it. But I just don't understand why this is a book and how it's going to tie into the larger DC universe. Because you got everything happening essentially in the U.S.
Well, it might not. It might be them where all of a sudden these guys now are going to take on the guys I really do like.
The Ten?
The Great Ten. Yeah. So.
Yeah, look how excited, I mean, he was.
I love that August General and Iron and all those. I love those guys. They were really cool.
There was nothing wrong with the book.
That was the Doctor in.
Okay, gotcha. We'll see where this goes.
I enjoyed the book. I don't know if I enjoyed it enough to where I want to continue reading it monthly, though.
Isn't a bi-weekly book, is it?
It might be.
I'll be honest, I only bought it because I was curious about what it was going to be. I didn't really have...
Like it would be a bi-monthly
book. Yeah, it's not next week, so it's just a
month. I was saying, because if this was a bi-monthly book,
this is the one I had, like, a strong desire.
I think they're only doing bi-monthly on their top books.
Yeah.
So, and then
the... with both Detective and, like, Batman?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That way you get a Detective or a Batman book every week and a Superman book every week. Yeah.
My biggest pet peeve with this book, though, was that the reporter's name was Lonnie Lane.
Yeah, I saw it.
Really? Yeah, to be like Lois Lane, Lonnie Lane. Dumb.
But then the other one I just actually just read this morning was Nightwing.
I really like that.
I thought it was really good. No, because it was right below it when I looked at the paper. That's what I thought. I had started to read it, but it was funny. I was reading it at night, and it started off with just very, very wordy and the lamp, not enough light, and I just kind of set it aside. But going back and reading it this morning, that was a really good book. Pretty much explained the whole Grayson thing.
I like how it tied in with the Robin War stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They never did anything with that afterwards.
It covered all their bases. I forgot about Damian having the bomb in his head.
But it really, the Midnighter stuff. I like it. What did Midnighter call him that he said he needed to work on?
Nemesister.
Yeah. But it was just fun. Like that. Just the, you know, little things like that. The art was fantastic. I thought it was really good. And I did not read Grayson beyond the first issue. I know you guys talked about it and really enjoyed it. I'm probably going to stick with this one because it was a lot of fun.
Also, put Huntress out there for
right.
But no, this strongly established who Dick Grayson is and Dick Grayson's personality and the core of who he is and where he stands in the rest of the Bat family. And
I also like that they explain where the Nightwing part came from.
I remember that story before.
Yeah, but I mean, for a new reader,
right? It's a really good jump on. Yeah,
yeah, you're right.
Set up the Parliament of Owls.
I like how they changed their masks.
Yeah.
Well, got just rid of the Lincoln Parliament March. Changed their masks. Yeah. So the Parliament, not the court.
And then. Sets it up for him to like go off and do his own thing, not be in the shadow of the Batman.
It kind of has that Grayson feel still because he's still kind of infiltrating, going in and going after the court or the Parliament, but he's Nightwing because he does it.
I love Batman's interaction with him. It was a short interaction, but I loved it.
Yeah.
Now the one drawback though to doing it the way that they're doing it, it kind of forces him to stay in Gotham. Versus having him off on his own and bloody.
No, he's leaving Gotham. In the book, he said he's going to go off and try and take them down from the inside.
Yeah, but that
outside of Gotham, he says he's going to be
altogether.
Yeah, he said he's going to be.
Assumed that they were only in Gotham, and that's why I was.
Parliament. What happened was the Parliament moved to Greece. They were in Athens or something. Because he was explaining the story of the actual
that's right.
I must have missed that.
They were at somewhere else, so he went to take care of them there. But now you have two factions of the Owls. The whole stuff with Lincoln March was interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, how he was explaining it, and then he just takes it out.
It was very cool. Felt very much in the tone of Dick Grayson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love the cover.
I find it fascinating, these books where it's the same writer continuing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yet it has like a completely different tone to it. Now, Grayson started off shaky. The first like couple issues of Grayson were a bit, you know, out of whack. But King and Seeley kind of, they really, you know, got their footing and made, turned Grayson around and made it a really fun book. It felt like the Grayson, the character. But this shows that Seeley really understands Nightwing as well and can write that.
I like how they have, like, he was kind of like his protege or something like that, right? He's kind of Tom King's. Like, wasn't he working kind of with him on
Seeley
that?
Was King's protege?
Is that how it
no,
was?
No, Seeley's been writing a lot.
Yeah, I think King was more
the other way around.
Because Seeley, I think King was actually scripting. Seeley was helping with the story, like, creation.
Okay, so then he just went off and did his own thing after that. I get it. I wasn't sure how that was working exactly.
Yeah, they were on it together, but I think King was doing the actual
script. It was really good. I forgot that came out. I can't figure out where they found an arcade in this day and age.
Yeah.
Cheddar Vikings, or Cheese Vikings.
Cheese Vikings, yeah.
Chuck E. Cheese.
DC needs to just make that game so we play it on their website.
Cheese Vikings.
Cheese Vikings.
So that's all I got. That's all I read. Okay. I promise I'll be better now that I'm done with Preacher.
Okay, we're holding you to this promise.
But I do heartily recommend reading Preacher. Outstanding. And Steve Dillon can draw a gunshot wound.
Pretty well.
Pretty well, yeah. It's amazing what his bullets do to the human body.
Probably what bullets actually do to the human body.
Yeah, I'm going to say a little more.
Embellishes
experience
in
this?
Yeah.
Bloodshot. Bloodshot Reborn.
Yeah.
You guys?
That was good.
Yeah.
I didn't, that at the end there with Deathmate, I was not expecting that.
So I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah,
except
I saw that
for,
spoiled. That was kind
of
cool.
I kept seeing, like, articles the day of saying, like, oh, they reveal who Deathmate is. And so I'm like, oh, so it's someone we know. And I'm thinking about more, and I was like, could it be Magic? And then finally, as I'm reading, I'm like, I wonder if it's going to be Kay. And then whatever it was,
yeah,
I'm surprised they went that way. But
because I kind of
really
thought
cool.
The same thing was, it's Magic.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that all the way through the book, and then when it turned out to be Kay. So does that mean that maybe Glod's not as big a screw-up? All right, there's one that survived. Kind of. No, but
Glod,
this whole arc has been...
The point of Glod is that even though he's destined to fail over and over and over again, he still tries.
Up.
Like, he still comes back over and over. He could live this paradise, live in this heaven,
yeah.
Yet he still does what he can.
It kind of shows that he isn't all-powerful, too.
Yeah.
Like, he can't just protect, you know, the Geomancer forever.
Like, even though he eventually fails, he gives the Earth, like, a fighting chance for a while there.
Yeah.
And then... nature takes its course, and it's time for that Geomancer to be gone and a new one to come.
It makes it more interesting,
yeah.
Actually, because, you know, even if he... Sometimes he quits. Like, he'll give up, like, and Rai, he kind of just sat in his castle and was just like, I don't know where she went, Geomancer.
Well, I don't feel like he quit necessarily. I feel like he felt like he was defeated.
Yeah.
And
okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Whereas there have been times where he just kind of said, like, F it, I don't agree with what the Geomancer doing, what the Earth's doing, and he just kind of went off and, you know, left. But
that's
yeah.
The thing, where you'll have a bad day at work, he has bad centuries at work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Poke people.
At the risk of asking a dumb question, I don't think I know who Kay is.
She
was the Geomancer that died in the Valiant.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's right there.
Okay, okay.
The blonde woman.
Okay. I forgot about that. Okay. I forgot. Thank you.
Kay McHenry. And in, remember he was seeing visions of her in the early, first one of Bloodshot Reborn with Bloodsquirt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I got you now.
Yeah. But that was really cool. I liked how he kind of like put the plan together for them to try and, you know, storm where Deathmate
the fight to her.
You know, lives at. And yeah, it was really good. And freaking Tim got me on the 1 in 20 variant covers for this. And now that they're a theme, I'm committed for the rest of the arc to buy the 1 in 20s.
That's what you had.
Colin's all sitting there.
I'll let him go.
Yeah, so you can thank Tim for me spending $10 an issue now.
Oh, no, thank you.
He's like, thank you.
Oh, because the first one, Tim's like, isn't this really cool? I was like, that is really cool.
That was
it. Now it's the theme.
Oh, damn it.
This one was, this month was the Vietnam bloodshot. So we'll see what next month is. Descender 13. You read it, Dave?
I read that, yeah.
So, this issue was good, but I'm kind of annoyed that they had that long break, then they come back, and now we're just getting, like, these back-to-back origins. I feel like it really kills the flow of the story here by having it done this way.
Yeah.
It almost is killing my interest in the series as a whole, because I want the story to continue. I don't necessarily care about the background of Telsa. At least the background of the other Tim kind of played into what he was doing.
Yeah.
Where we left off, but hers, you know.
She wasn't one I was really dying to know where she came from.
Like, I didn't need to know why she was a hard ass. Story
is. Yeah. But I guess they needed that to.
We have that connection with the father. So I guess you kind of have to.
I guess they needed
Like, we got that twist, that thing at the end where they found out, you know, who she was, but.
Yeah. Dr. Kwan could use that against her.
I didn't need an entire issue to get to that point. Yeah. And I really hope the next issue is in another origin of, you know, someone else. It's just, like, I feel like I'm getting to the point where...
It's going to be Driller.
If they keep doing this, I'm going to be like, I might just now start buying some trades and then...
Yeah, yeah.
Which is unfortunate because I really like this series a lot, but this is just... I hate when they... If they didn't take this break, it wouldn't be so annoying to me, but I feel like we waited so long for the cliffhanger to be resolved, and now it's all right, here's an origin and here's another origin, and you're gonna keep waiting longer. But otherwise, it's not a bad issue, just, you know, my personal preference. I would like to see the story being told differently.
This is the first issue,
a different story being focused on.
I think it's the first one that kind of felt a little flat, but series on the whole has been really good.
Detective Comics?
Yeah.
I read that. I like this a lot. I really like that Batman is not the focus in this issue. We only saw Batman a little bit in here, and what we saw was kind of brutal.
He was getting his ass kicked.
Yeah. But no, this was a really good issue.
The twist there at the end.
Yeah.
Which I kind of saw coming.
It makes sense.
You kind of get it in this issue. Like, this issue in particular.
Yeah.
Well, that character since from the beginning has been kind of fishy, but I don't want to mention it.
That's fine. It's Cassandra Cain, badass.
Oh yeah.
In this issue, I mean, she's been a badass, but in this issue, she was a real.
I do
real
like
badass.
How not only is this book not very focused on Batman, it's very focused on her.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the Batwoman book, but it also has a little bit to do with the rest of these characters that they've, you know. Like Orphan, and that they've been throwing.
He said Cassie Kane, not Kate Kane. He's talking
about
Cassandra.
Orphan. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Black Bat.
Yeah.
Orphan now, but.
Yeah, Black Bat.
But no, yeah, her too. But, yeah. I mean, Detective Comics doesn't have to be solely Batman.
No.
It has to be Batman family or Batman theme, but it doesn't have to be just focused on Bruce, and I like that he's there, he's playing a part, but he's not the main draw, and I feel like they're doing it well. I'm very still, you know, what, 3 issues in, and I'm still very excited to see where Tinian's taking this.
Yeah. I even like Tim Drake in this book. I think he's been a very good character.
I like how they're doing Clayface too.
Yeah.
They're actually making him part of the team.
And he has his little watch, and they're just like, you gotta come back. He just wants to get his life started. I feel like it's like a Godfather moment where they're like, you know, they keep bringing it back in.
Yeah.
You know? Because it's almost like.
Every time I'm out,
they pull me back in. Because he's like. It seems like he's trying to get his life together because he's like, oh, great, I have this watch that I can go and do, you know, auditions. Like, he's fine. But then Batman's just like, yeah, you're needed.
Yeah.
You have to fight crime. It's just like, well, that's not what I want to do. So I feel like that character may turn at some point. I thought he was in this issue because of the cover. The cover looked like he was going to...
Well, no, it was essentially he was rapping and he was grooting them.
Oh, that was what they were trying to show in that. Okay.
Yeah.
But, it's good. It's been a good book.
Ninjak, number 17. This was the wrap-up of the Siege of King's Castle arc. where it's been, you know, we found out previously that Roku was the one that was behind trying to take down Colin King, kind of take everything away from him, all of his assets, his money, his wealth, his reputation, and kind of ruin him before she finally killed him. And we find out why she's really out for blood with Colin King. There was a character from several issues ago who was, whenever Colin King first started with MI6, she was his, like, handler and really, you know, trained him, and they fell in love and had an affair, and then they, you know, when they were, you know, they were making love and these guys broke in, took her, like, looked like they beat her to death, threw in a van, and he was, you know, setting out, like, trying to find her. He went to the Bleeding Monk, went through all these trials, was really, you know, doing everything he could to try and find this woman, and nothing ever came of it. And we find out that she became Roku, that they took her, the Shadow Seven took her to the Bleeding Monk, and they put this, like, spike in the back of her neck that they found out had these mystical properties, and essentially turned her into this killing machine, Roku. And it ties even to Master Dark, who we saw most recently in the Valiant miniseries, that he was the one that, you know, put that spike in the back of her neck. And she is just really, you know, she feels that Colin King is to blame for all this. That's why she's trying to take him down. And she even, there's this brutal scene where she goes to Venezuela and finds Colin King's, you know, real parents or real mom, and you know, who he thought was his dad for many years but wasn't, finds them and brutally, you know, kills them and guts them and brings their bodies back and throws them in the wine cellar in Colin King's home, and, you know, make sure that he sees them before their final encounter. And but it was good. My only complaint with this arc overall is it never felt like Colin King was actually losing a whole lot. It never felt like he was impacted that much by having all of his assets taken away.
Okay.
From it still seemed like he was still able to very easily, you know, negotiate the situation. But overall, it was a good arc. The backups in this arc were really solid. And it ended, this issue ended with her trying to redirect her, you know, the blame. Like, she comes to terms saying that maybe it wasn't him that she should have been going after. Maybe it was Master Dark. So she goes to where Galad, you know, beat Master Dark. And there's, like, this tree there, and you see Master Dark's face in it. And it looks like, you know, he's been killed off or been trapped. And she just starts cutting on this tree, and as she's cutting down, you can see this, like, aura coming out of it. So, which is leading to, you know, more Master Dark, which is cool because he's been kind of a, you know, big villain throughout the relaunch of Valiant, popping up here and there. And he's been a pretty powerful character, so it's cool to see him referenced again. I like how they always touch on these different characters in several books whenever, like, you're not expecting it.
What's the one in Rye?
Silk. Dr. Silk, yeah. So it was cool. Vision number 9. This is getting into the home stretch for this series. And we're starting to see things that were mentioned early in the series, foretold would happen, are starting to come to fruition here. Like, there was one really, like, creepy part in, I want to say, the first issue, where this family, this husband and wife, go to welcome the Visions of the neighborhood. The wife is making her husband do it, and he's very anti, you know, robot, and he's making these comments, and the Visions overhear him making these comments, and it says, at one point, it's this, like, throwaway, like, narrative box that before the story's over, their house will be in flames and they'll be dead. And this issue is where it finally happens. The Vision's brother, essentially Victor, has been sent there by the Avengers to figure out what's going on and kind of spy on the Visions. And Vision's son, Vin, catches him communicating with the Avengers and filling them in on his mission. And when he confronts him, Victor starts shocking Vin and goes too far and ends up killing Vin. And in the process, there's a weapon fired, a laser blast that hits this couple's house. Their house goes up in flames, and Vision goes to investigate where the blast came from. And that's when he finds his son Vin lying there dead with Victor, you know, over top. Like, I didn't mean to. I didn't mean for this to happen. It was really brutal. And it was cool with the letters. I normally don't read the letters, but I read the intro sometimes of the writer. And Tom King wrote a paragraph. He's like, it was really brutal having to kill off this character that I created. He said he never thought he would feel that way because this is a character that he essentially went onto Google and typed in V names to try and find a name for. This is a character that was just created as a, you know, device for the plot. And when it came to this point, he was very, you know, torn up about having to actually write That's it fun. And kill off this. But it's
how he didn't like mean for it to mean. As,
yeah, it was the just like yeah.
as much, but as he wrote it,
it did.
As he
yeah.
went, it meant something.
That's yeah, and it was like, for the reader, it was brutal too. It was really well done, and you can see where it's setting up for Vision to, you know, not give a shit with the last three
a Vision
issues.
Vision missing in the Marvel universe. Do you remember the Young Avengers had their own Vision? Mm-hmm. It was like Vision Jr., and he was the only one existed after Disassembled where She-Hulk, like, ripped Vision in half, and then he became yeah. the Vision that they all went through, and then he kind of vanished out of the story. So I don't know what mm-hmm. happened to that one.
He was just Vision, wasn't he?
I think they just called him Vision yeah. as well.
Wonder Woman, number two?
Yeah, I heard that.
I like this a lot. I think it's a cool idea with what they're doing, where the odd-numbered issues are Rucka and Liam Sharp telling the lies storyline, yeah. and the even number issues are Rucka and Nicholas Scott telling this Wonder Woman Year One story. And this was, you know, as much of an origin as it was for Wonder Woman, it was probably even more so an origin for how Steve Trevor became the guy he was and how he came to Themyscira in the first place. And it's a story we've all heard before, but the way they did it, just it
they
felt fresh.
It, a lot better, yeah.
it felt fresh. It felt very interesting, even though, you know, we already knew it, and I'm definitely excited for this, you know, this set of stories.
Now, they put him back in the Air Force in this one,
mm-hmm.
so I kind of assume that that's part of the problem with the lies, is that that's all a lie. Etta Candy is not a, you know, skinny black woman,
mm-hmm.
but so that kind of helps some of those questions I had. I really like this. The minor issue, I don't think it did anything. Like, I knew this part of the story. And I get that it's only issue one, but as someone that's not even a reader of Wonder Woman comics,
mm.
I kind of felt like, yeah, I kind of already knew this stuff. I almost wish they would have shown additional or changed the story up just enough to where it's like, okay, I'm not getting the same thing. Now, they kind of did with Steve Trevor, because you got the relationship between him and his buddy,
yeah.
Who gets killed. Well, we assume that they're all dead, because we would assume Steve Trevor's the only one that survives. But it was just, nothing of significance was different from kind of the origin story that most people know.
Yeah, but I feel like if your intent is to tell a year one, then you almost have to start there. And I feel like they did it in a way that didn't make me feel bored reading it.
No.
They did it in a way that surprisingly, I was very surprised that I was reading this story that I already knew, and I was still eagerly turning the pages.
Well, no, and it was like very well done.
I feel like that's the best they could have accomplished in that scenario.
I think, and the Rebirth book kind of explained this as well, that, you know, Wonder Woman hasn't had, like, a consistent, like, story, and she hasn't had a fresh, like, year one type book. And I thought it was good to have this because we haven't had that.
But I see the inconsistencies are being addressed in a lies book. Okay. That's, you know, yeah, she has these different versions of the origin story.
Yeah.
And through the lies storylines, we're going to find out, okay,
I think so, too. I think
she's
going to intertwine at some point.
Right, and that's what I think is going to happen, is at some point we're going to realize, okay, this is her truth, is what we're learning in the year one. And the lies is kind of her coming to the realization.
I feel like as questions are asked in the lies storyline, that we're seeing some answers in the year one, or we will be.
And I agree. That's a really cool way to tell this story. I can see where in trade it may present a bit of a problem, but that's okay. I mean, I'm reading an issue, so it's not going to matter.
And also, I mean, I understand your point, but at least they told that whole thing in one issue. Like, they didn't spread this out beyond one issue. So with one issue, we saw
right.
her, you know, upbringing quickly, and he gets to the island, and now from this point on,
right,
her adventure begins.
The next issue was going to be
yeah.
the contest of champions to find out who gets to escort him back to the, you know, to
yeah.
the world. And that's great. I'm glad that they did that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, though, in Batman Year One, Did they show his parents getting killed, or do we just automatically assume?
Yeah, they did. Okay. That's the whole point of... I think that was the first time that they used Zorro as, like, they were going to see Zorro instead of an opera or something.
Okay.
And that's where that came in.
Okay. Because I could remember that, and that's kind of... Well, you know, if we already know it, why
I think it would be nice, though, to have a book that if somebody's just, like... You know, especially for, like, Colin, who, would, if somebody comes up, I'm looking for an origin story of Wonder Woman, this will be
this should be a good book.
You're right, we already know it, but I think the reason why you have to show it is because in the lies, since they're saying they're questioning her entire past, then you have to kind of show that and show what's real, what's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's why they're doing this in that way, and I love how they're doing this.
So do I. I really...
I'm just like... Mm-hmm. This, it gives you a lot of story, but I know there's a point.
This is probably a close second for me in terms of my favorite Rebirth book.
Yeah.
Green Arrow. Speaking of Wonder Woman, we didn't mention this in the news, but Frank Cho leaving his variant cover gig only 6 issues in. He was supposed to be on it for 24 issues.
Yeah.
Because of, he made a big deal about issues with Rucka and Rucka having artistic control over the variants when he wasn't supposed to, and, his cover for the last issue, his variant cover for the last issue, I guess, was cropped a bit to show, so it didn't, like, show a tiny, like, sliver of, like, her, you know, her underwear beneath the skirt.
Right.
Yeah.
But, Rucka's the writer. I don't have a lot of sympathy for Cho. You know, he's doing a variant cover. Who are you going to let steer the boat?
Like, I can understand the complaint, but at the same time, I can't stand Frank Cho.
Yeah. Well, no, but I'm saying Rucka has control over the book. If he doesn't like the variant artist, too bad. You know,
like I feel like Frank Cho has created this situation where people automatically assume the worst.
Yeah,
from
all the outrage covers,
sexualizes every cover he does, and that
tons of cheesecake. And then whenever the whole Spider Gwen thing came up, how he just keeps poking the bear with the outrage covers, and it's just. It's,
I get it, and there's certainly a market for those type of covers and all that, but I think the problem with Wonder Woman specific, she's part of the Trinity. The whole point is she's supposed to be on equal footing with Batman and Superman.
And to be fair, I don't think his variant covers for Wonder Woman have been like that.
They've been
fine, but at the same time...
Then why associate yourself with
that? I feel like you have set yourself up to where people are going to assume... You know, that's what you're going to do at some point, and they're going to be extra cautious you know, be careful over it.
At least you didn't have the Joker trying to kill. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah, that was a good cover, too.
I still want that cover.
So do I.
Yeah.
But at least he'll be writing, he'll be drawing Batgirl.
Exactly. I love that.
And the last one I'll mention, Wrath of the Eternal Warrior number 9, which I freaking loved.
Yeah. I saw you tweet it.
Yeah, I tweeted about that and Hal Jordan and Venditti responded on both of them, which is cool. And Raul Allen for Eternal Warrior. But no, this is where Galad finally, like, makes his play here. Mm-hmm. And we find out that, you know, he's been studying everything up to this point with this labyrinth. And
it shows how he works.
It was a really cool part when he's like, you know, I've died several times. But I've never died the same way more than once.
Yeah.
And he just...
He learns from it.
Yeah, he really turns the labyrinth against him and does this awesome assault on the, you know, the soldiers there. And it looks like he really turned Sovereign's plans, you know, kind of on their head.
Yeah.
Which is really cool because Sovereign's been very smug about the whole thing. And the art was gorgeous. There was this, a couple, like, you know, nice spreads during his... kind of assault towards the door.
Silhouette.
Yeah, it was just was really absolutely nice. Gorgeous. Raul Allen's art was fantastic in this book.
Sovereign's worried, too.
Well, the other part that I find interesting is his son's missing right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know this only has one issue left in this arc.
Did his son vanish from the afterlife area?
He kind of just disappeared from the bow and arrow. He was shooting the bow and arrow and then he was gone.
Yeah,
because he wanted to talk to Galad.
Yeah.
As Galad was, like, rapidly going back and forth, and Galad was like,
And then at some point in that issue, that was the issue where he just kept going back and forth.
Yeah.
And they kept showing him in the background that he was gone.
Yeah.
He wasn't there.
Okay, I didn't
feel like his bow and arrow might have been, like...
Right, and that's what it was. His wife was calling him for dinner or whatever, and...
Oh, that's right. You're right.
So, that's... Because
I wonder if he's trying to make the same.
You know, Galad that can Galad do does. This, and that's part of Galad's power set is, you know, he can keep coming back. I don't know that the same thing applies to his son. So what happens if his son dies? Does that mean he doesn't go back to the Utopia or, you know, whatever it is? But even there, that's supposed to be Galad's reward, so you would think that he would have to go back there because Galad would want to see him, which is kind of
an. And when he died the first time, he went there.
Right. So. Well, yeah, but the first time is kind of, okay, well, you know, that is what it is. But if he kind of rejects whatever.
Yeah, we'll see. I didn't, yeah.
Yeah, this is a little thing, but I was just wondering about this one. You've read the early Eternal Warrior stuff. You remember in the issues where he meets the daughter? He had a dog.
He had a daughter and a son in the.
Do you remember him having a dog at the beginning, though? And the dog was killed?
Yeah.
I feel like that's the dog that they've been showing in this whole thing. And I have to go back and read it, but I was
But one of his kids were killed in that, too, and that kid's not there.
Yeah. There's a lot of people.
I'm sure he has a lot of kids.
Because one of his kids turns on the other kid.
Yeah. And that story we never heard of again.
Yeah, that whole series is weird.
That seemed interesting.
I feel like. Yeah. Man, it almost feels like something happened between Greg Pak and Valiant because it just ended so abruptly.
I think that's exactly what happened because it did. It just ended. Well, not only, well, he did
two arcs.
He did the second arc too, and that had nothing to do with anything.
I like the center. I like
do,
the,
but it
the
had
Eternal Emperor
to do with the first arc at all.
The first arc had him kind of like just abandoning his role as the you know the Fist of the Earth.
Yeah.
And then the second arc jumped to, you know, the time of Rai, essentially, which
doesn't line. It doesn't even line up with what they're doing with 4001.
I mean,
so I'm almost like they didn't go with any of the stories.
It would line up if there was at least like a year in between to show that, you know, things crap happened during that year's time span. But I think they set up to be the same year, and that doesn't. If that's the same year, then things are really bad very quickly for.
Well, they did say it was like at the in the book they were just like we go to 4000 in the trade it says 4000
unless there's like an estimate
and he's
around
like leading
4000
a village. He's leading a village and one in that book.
And it's his granddaughter and
then in this he's in seclusion. Like in 4001 AD.
He looks the same. Like he looks essentially the same.
Yeah, he looks the same. But it was just, it's something weird happened there.
Yeah. All good. Just that's the only time through this Valiant relaunch that something doesn't quite feel
line up
right
because
in their
continuity.
Because
it lines up so well with everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
and that
perfect.
That book ended very, it was 8 issues, I guess. It was very sudden when it ended. I feel like it was
bad. It was just like I'm still interested in what happened in that story, and they never like his. Even one of the you had the one kid, and then the other one supposedly became like Death or something like that. And I thought that was what Book of Death was.
Yeah, she
be about.
became the Eternal Warrior version of the Eternal Enemies side, almost.
And they just never
Like the Geomancer. No, I guess the Eternal Enemy is the Geomancer counterpart. But yeah, I feel like if I ever go to a convention where Greg Pak is there, I want to ask him
like what happened there?
What happened with this book? I'm just curious.
Yeah. I don't know.
But no, this Wrath of Eternal War has been fantastic. This issue was fantastic. Last week was a very good week for Venditti. So, Dave?
All I have left are two books from Aftershock. First being Rough Riders, number 4.
That was a good book.
Really good book. A lot of fun.
Absolutely the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen with real historical figures.
We learn what really happened at the Battle of Little Bighorn.
Yeah.
Turns out it wasn't Custer versus the Indians. It was Custer and the Indians versus aliens.
But Custer did hate the Indians.
Yes,
it was just
they
were more concerned about the aliens. That was really good. And you know, Rasputin with fighting Jack Johnson. That's
He has Jack John. Fighting Jack Johnson, and that was great.
It's this whole thing's just been really, really fun. Although it looks like now it's you're going to see Teddy Roosevelt taking San Juan Hill with the Buffalo Soldiers, which makes sense because if you're using historical figures, you have to incorporate actual history. You can just put a slant on it like they did with Little Bighorn. So I guess that's what's got to happen next.
Right, right. Yeah, it's done really well. I don't want to forget about the Edison shows the slug that was in Custer's ear that kind of can take over the minds of people. So it's just a fun book. I really like it. The other one is The Revisionist.
How was that? I started to read number one, and it was just... I don't want to sound odd. Too wordy, especially when I'm trying to read it late at night. I just opened it, and I was just kind of like, I'm not following. So.
It was good. I liked it. I'm into it, that one. Okay. The first one, in the first issue, Martin Monroe, protagonist's name is Martin Monroe, and he gets a wristband, and his dad's, he sees this hologram of his dad from the future, and shows him how to escape, and the last issue ended with him falling, and he falls through a time rift, and he ends up in New York City, 1979, and he's in the middle of this drug operation, and just as about in this church, as it turns out, just as these guys are trying to kill him, another guy shows up from the future and helps him out and saves him, whose name is David.
It's not you.
It's not me. Good Lord. I hope it's not me after I tell you what happens to him at the end of the book. Because and then Martin goes out by himself to kind of explore New York City in 1979, and his dad...
Not New York City in 1979.
Yeah. And his dad shows up again in the hologram and says, you got to kill this David guy, because he's...
Gotcha.
Yeah, I know. Who would want to do that? And so he ends up putting a screwdriver in his eye.
I don't think he got the reference.
No, I didn't get it. No.
David Berkowitz, Son of Sam.
Yeah, okay. I didn't get it.
I think it was 79. Was it? No, it was late
70s. I was two, so I don't remember.
They call it
the
summer of
Sam.
So after he does this, he caused a revision in the timeline, and time kind of adjusts itself around him. And he's in the difference.
And then Van Damme shows up.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And then his dad appears again and says, it's time to tell you what's really going on with these revisionist people. And you don't know I'm interested in what's going on, and it looks like they're, you know, like time traveling assassins or something.
76.
But I think it's a cool book. It's good.
76 or 77.
That's it, Pat.
Okay. Well, I got one. Action. No one else read
action? Not on purpose. I'm just behind
you. Okay.
I do reaction.
So it's Superman versus Doomsday, and Lex Luthor is helping him, or, you know, they're at least working somewhat in unison. And Lois is talking to John about the first time Superman fought Doomsday. But obviously she's not telling him the whole story as to what happened before.
Yeah. I like how she wasn't telling him anything at all, and then he went to his room and he was just like, I have an iPad. I'm just going to watch it online.
Yeah, you can't really hide things from kids anymore.
Yeah, because they already have that.
Went to watch the current fight, not the what happened previously.
No,
there's
no way he could
have. Well, no, because it wouldn't have happened in that universe.
I know, I'm just clarifying.
And again, I've never been a Superman fan. I really enjoy this book.
Yeah, I'm surprised how much I'm enjoying these Superman books. This in Superman proper.
Yeah, even the Lex version of Superman, I'm okay with.
Why is it hard to pick a Rebirth title that I'm like?
Oddly compelling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially, I don't remember if it was the Rebirth issue or the first issue where it goes back to. It was right after Forever Evil when his sister turns on him.
That whole
the Metamorpho. The Amazovirus. That's what it was.
Yeah.
The Amazovirus. You know, it. They didn't discard that. This is right off that. Yeah.
That's the best thing about this. They're not discarding anything.
It's not a reboot.
Like, they're not even discarding.
It's never
like,
meant to be.
They're not even discarding like previous continuity because like Superman. That's what I love about.
Well, Green Lantern. I mean, the Kronos Gauntlet.
Yeah.
That's this Superman is Superman.
Yeah.
Now that's the only weird thing is you have Superman pre New 52. You have New 52 who is dead, but there's a Clark Kent. We don't know where he came from.
Powers.
Yeah, well...
Supposedly.
So, yeah, we don't know. But he claims he's not Superman. Where did that Clark come from?
Yeah.
And how does he play into all this? Because even he says at one point that him and Superman need to have a conversation.
I was kind of wondering if it kind of ties into what's happening in the Superman book. Because remember the end of Superman? He... what's that character called they were calling him?
Oz?
No, the machine creates... a Superman at the end of that.
Oh.
Okay.
And I was wondering if maybe that might be...
You mean the new Superman
energy thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, the new... I think it meant Superman, not the new Superman.
No. Yeah,
okay.
I didn't know if that would tie.
But the energy thing, I'm pretty sure that's the harnessed Superman solar flare thing.
That's what they use to make the Chinese Superman.
Yeah.
Which is, he's a hyphenated Superman.
Right, Superman.
Yeah. Yes. Instead of Superman.
Which always messes me up searching for it in the computer.
Oh, really?
It's okay.
Even though it's new Superman?
Right, but when you're typing up a search for it, you don't see it, and you're typing new Superman. You don't put a space.
You just type new soup.
No.
Hit it.
No, you got me. Yeah. Doop. Thank you, Pat.
You're welcome. So what's coming out next week, Colin?
What? You want to know what's coming next week?
Not really. We don't.
That's it. Everybody talked. Well, it was my fault. So.
Yep.
Get a pee.
Yeah, but...
Exactly. I'll try not to drink as much next week.
New title of the
fight. Yeah. Colin had to pee.
He tried to be so quiet about it.
I know, like, you guys keep going. They're like, Colin's going.
He's going crazy, everybody.
To be fair, if he had done that, you'd be like, oh, I didn't even got to go pee in the middle of the podcast.
I'd be like, yep.
No, you're supposed to be telling us what's coming out next.
I'm trying.
Playing Pokemon.
I'm trying.
You're worse than my kids.
Stop talking.
Stop playing Pokemon and do your damn homework.
Okay, strong crappy talk.
I know.
He's
I love
point.
It.
It wasn't the time or place. In the middle of what you were just going to discuss.
Yeah, he is in the middle of the street. You're in the middle of what's coming out next week.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw this. Yay.
Oh, come on.
4000 AD, number 3. 4001 AD, number 3.
What? I said
no.
Terrible radio.
No, it was immediate. Your damage return form should be in next week's shipment. That's what.
Okay.
Yay.
See, 4001 AD, number 1 is in the loot crate.
It's going to be a top book of the month. Action next week. Adventure Time Comics, number 1. I guess they're restarting it with a new number 1 because it works.
I don't think it's a separate book.
So they're going to have two Action Time?
I believe.
Action Time, or Adventure Time and Adventure Time Comics?
Superman meets Adventure
Time. Wasn't doing very well, but it kind of has dropped off.
Okay.
Of course, you can meet the Punisher and the Predator. Why not? Mm-hmm. Superman and...
I have that book at home. I haven't read it yet.
What? Archie
Predator? Yeah. Someone got it for Christmas. My cousin's fiance got it for Christmas.
Archie 10, Batgirl number 1, a separate book, but she doesn't get her own rebirth because she's got the rebirth.
All the ads say it's coming out on June 27th.
Ah, okay, well.
Well, they mean
well
July.
No, it's coming out July 27th. Okay, so he's got the month wrong. Okay. Black Panther number 4.
Like, did I miss this?
Yeah.
That's why I thought I was missing Titans.
Captain America, Steve Rogers, number 3, to find out more about the...
Hail Hydra
cap. Captain Kidd, number 1. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but...
That's a Mark Waid
kangaroo.
Oh, is that maybe from... Oh, that's from Aftershock?
From Aftershock. Okay. It's about a...
I guess it's Joey.
Yeah, it's almost like...
I think it's kind of like a
Shazam.
Kind of like a reverse Shazam. Okay. The guy's old, and then he can turn into a young superhero.
Okay.
Black Adam.
Yeah.
Whoa, bringing race into it. Captain Marvel, number 7, is a Civil War book. And then we have Civil War, number 4, the more fallout from the death of Hulk.
Colin and the Clan.
I don't get those Chinese names.
No, but that's all. It just kept going back. Back to playing my Pokemon.
That's a podcast.
Civil War 2, Choosing Sides, number 3.
There
aren't any Pokemon.
They're all in the museum.
Or in the library. Detective 937. Disney Frozen, which I know you guys laugh at, but I will sell out of immediately.
Hey, let it go.
Even now,
did we laugh at Disney?
I think we're enough.
Every Disney book is doing ridiculously. Divinity number 4, last part of Divinity 2.
Very excited about this.
Flash number 3, Future Quest number 3. Oh.
Read your lip.
Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps number 1, Haunted Mansion number 5. Image Plus number 4, if you want one, please let me know. They've stopped giving them away free with previews.
Are you serious?
Yeah. As of number 4, yeah. And they did this to us in an email on Monday, the day that we had to put our final numbers in. So I was getting 80 free and then ordering another 50, and I have a stack of them left. So I cut my order down to 15 because I'm like, I don't know how many people care just because... If you're getting it free, I don't know if you still want it. But now that I'm having to pay for all of them, it's like I'm not ordering 80.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I want to read the Negan backup or the Negan story, but I'm not paying for it.
Right, now you're going to have to pay $2 for it.
Yeah, so
that,
you're going to sell it now, right?
Right.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
I'm not going to pay $2
I understand.
For a four-page
Totally
Negan,
get it.
But,
I think
that's, but that whole thing is stupid.
I agree. Jupiter's Legacy, Volume 2, Number 2. Number 1 was really good. I just enjoyed this one. Little Grumpy Cat That Wouldn't. It's a little golden book, but it's a little Grumpy Cat little golden book. I thought that was fun. Marvel Minimates, I love this. It's the Captain America 3 movie series. Good timing.
That comes out on DVD, so.
Yeah, well, it could be. I ordered it in March, so it's a good thing it's coming now. You know, I ordered it thinking it would come out when the
movie came out.
Mechanism number 1, that's an Image book, I believe. Yeah, that's an Image book. Ms. Marvel number 9, that's a Civil War one, that's going to be her quitting the Avengers, all that fun stuff. New Avengers number 14 is also a Secret Wars tie-in. Nightwing number 1. Also, I have my damage replacements coming of the Nightwing Rebirth. About half my copies had that weird bubble on the back. So the replacements are coming next week. A book that just sounds like the greatest thing ever. It's Predator versus Judge Dredd versus Aliens, number 1.
And it's written by John Layman.
Okay. Yeah, that's a
good question. So it's a legit writer on it.
Yeah. Previews next week. Red Hood and the Outlaws Rebirth, number 1. ROM, finally, number 1, is coming out. Only because they announced it last year at San Diego, so it just seems like it's okay. Really
bad. I thought there was already a ROM.
No,
that was a free comic book.
There was a zero for Free Comic Book Day. Okay. Yeah. Sabrina Chilling Adventures Trade Paperback Volume 1, so finally. But we've all, I have to say, really enjoyed this book, so I recommend that one.
You got plenty of number ones, too, don't you?
Yeah. And then this is just for Adam. He's going to be really excited by this. Would you read this one?
Saved by the Bell, Graphic Novel Volume 1, Freshman Year.
So you guys don't know it, but there was a podcast when I was not here. And it devolved into a Saved by the Bell conversation. I believe they were doing trivia on somebody's phone for the podcast.
What?
We had... No.
I went in and I explained.
You look very defensive right now.
Yeah, because this podcast had, like, likes to it. Because people came in on, you remember? People were actually commenting that this was, like, one of the funniest podcasts that they had of this one. That was a while back, but.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably still my time.
Yeah, no, it was way before. He took off. I think Jeremy was here. Maybe Ryan.
I just remember hearing that all you guys talked about was Saved by the Bell.
Not all that we talked about, okay. But it was part of what we talked about.
We talked about a Batman comic.
And Saved by the Bell. Bell, yeah. Adam idolizing Screech.
Just because we didn't talk about Columbo.
Talk about Columbo in the podcast.
You can catch him on your game.
No, it's Slayer. No, so it's Slayer, but it's spelled like Slay, like, you know, Sleigh Ride. So it's Slayer Heavy Metal Santa Claus number one. Dave.
Well, no, that's Slayer the band.
No. That's A-Y.
Is it?
Yeah. This is E-I-G-H. Now, it's funny. They sent me a preview copy of this, which is great. I always appreciate it. Like, the week before Free Comic Book Day. And I know I set it aside, and I
never
don't know where it went. But I appreciate them sending me a preview copy. I'm pretty sure that's Action Lab.
Okay.
Star Wars Force Awakens adaptation number two.
That's the number two.
Yeah. That's how it's sold. Suiciders Kings of Hell A number five for you guys.
Suiciders.
Titan.
See?
Oh, Titans number one.
It's so long either.
That's the list. You guys won't stop. And then Wonder Woman number three. So that's what we got coming next week. I just got a big shipment of new posters that I will have out tomorrow, hopefully. I just didn't get to it today. It was one of those. Awesome. I'm like, I don't even want to put them out. I don't know how the barcodes are organized. I don't even know what they price them at. I know what they cost me, but I don't know what to price them at. And then even better, I'm looking at them on the sheet, and I don't know if they did it on the thing as I was ordering, but it shows their size, which is great, except they're in like two different sizes, so I have to go get... I ordered some to put on the wall.
Some are cardboard backed, you said?
Right. I ordered them all cardboard backed to sell, and then it was $2 cheaper to get them without the cardboard backing so they weren't flat. I think there's a thing where they're rolled, because those are going to be the ones I put on the wall, because it was, you know, $2 less. So I got to look. I'm pretty sure that...
Are they all Hit Monkey?
No, but there are definitely some Deadpool. They were really nice. We'll see how they go. I just got to figure out what to price them at. Which is really weird because it was a special deal through Comics Pro, but I can't really go onto the Comics Pro thing and say, hey, what are you guys pricing these at? Because then we get fixed, called for collusion and price fixing and stuff. So it's like, and of course, I went on their website to double check, and their website is solely a wholesale site, so it just has the wholesale price on it. It's
so like, what you have to do is you have to say, if I were to sell these,
right?
If I were to sell these, what would be a fair price?
Right, but you can't. We can't say that. So.
You can't discuss that.
No, we
like
can't
that
discuss that. So it's just one of those. I just got to look at it, but I got an idea, but then I got to put them in the system. Fun stuff. But yeah, they were neat.
Tomorrow's
job.
Really nice.
They're really nice posters. So a lot of classic images. Yeah, so good stuff there. Let's see. Going on through the rest of the month, we still have the double points on all Image trades. Also, I got a couple really nice collections in last week, but I didn't really do anything. I was bagged and boarded them all, but I didn't really do anything with them because the new price guide was coming out this week. Now, yeah, oh my God, what a jerk, he was waiting for the new book so I could price them up higher. Yeah, it just seemed dumb to price them the week before the new book comes out.
Yeah, because you never go back through...
No, I never reprice a book, so yeah.
There's been a lot of changes, though, with some of these, like with the movies and stuff
One of the big ones I wanted to see if there was a price change on was like Watchmen number one. Is that going to be affected based on Rebirth and what the perceived future of DC is? But then other things like, there was Amazing Spider-Man 300 in there, and, you know, that's a big book, and if that any price change on that, it could be significant. So.
Who knows what just this new Spider-Man showing up in a movie does to the prices of Spider-Man books.
A ton of old Batman and Detective, but my task the rest of this week is to get that stuff priced out.
Yeah, number four?
No, old Batman, like 60s and 70s.
Oh,
Batman.
Wow, okay.
I'm always looking for that number four.
Yeah.
I really am.
So, yeah, I'll be hopefully jumping on that
this week and weekend.
You can do it, Colin.
Oh, I will. It's just time. But yeah.
What number four are you guys looking for?
He's looking for Batman number four. The Snyder.
Batman number four.
Every time I come across something downstairs, I'm just like, that's going to be a tough one.
I know.
It really is.
I had two number fives. I didn't have a number four. So somewhere I grabbed.
Just crazy.
You checked eBay?
No.
No.
I mean, I'm sure I could find it if I was that inclined.
He's hoping to find a hair recover. He's because that'll be that price. So.
Well, no, but it you know, I'd rather spend my money here. Yeah.
No, I get it.
But they do come in. It's not impossible for them to come in.
No, but the last time it did, it was 1, 2, 3, 5.
Yeah.
Bastards.
I could figure that one out at all. Like, is it
maybe do the same thing?
Yeah, because if I sold my collection today, it would be the same thing.
Is it when the court just appeared? Like that issue, maybe?
I think so.
Might have been it.
Maybe.
Where can they find you, Colin? Anywhere?
They can find me anywhere.
Just look around.
But see, now it's funny because I'm not one of these guys walking through the neighborhood doing it. I literally just do it at the store because I'm a Pokestop. You can, you know, reload your Pokeballs and the things just come here. So basically just sitting here. I know. It was hilarious when my on Sunday I was driving. Deck had golf camp last week, and he really enjoyed it, but the problem was the golf, he's really tall, and the clubs were way too short, because all they had were youth clubs, and they were just, and you could see the problems he was having, like trying to use the driver, hunched over, it just wasn't working.
Does he need a regular set of clubs?
Right, so I looked in Dunham's had a set, wasn't bad, I don't remember what brand, but like Pro Built or something, you know, a name I recognize. For $129, the only thing it didn't have were like high irons, like it had a 4-5 wood.
Do you
and
want
then six, seven
a set of regular clubs to try out first?
No, I already bought them.
Six. I have an extra. I have an extra set.
Oh, gotcha. $129, including the bag and everything. I'm like,
what's the brand?
I off the top of my head, I don't know, but it was one I've heard. I
you just wanted something to start, like start.
Yeah, just, I mean, it didn't need to be good, but so I figured we'll go out to the driving range. We'll go out, you know, play nine somewhere, because I'll pick up mine for the first time in like 12 years. That'll be good. I'll hurt myself. But so as we're driving, and he all of a sudden we get there, and there was something really cool there that he was trying to get, and he was like, "Damn it, I don't have any balls." And it was just made me laugh. I'm like, "I'm sorry, bud."
When he's 13.
Yeah, when you're 13 and they drop. No. but you
then can, you can proceed to catch them all.
Yes. But but you can always find me here at the store Tuesday through Saturday. Don't look for me Sunday or Monday.
It's not always then.
Searching for Pokemon.
You can usually find me.
Well, usually. And then I have missed some people lately that come by to see me because I was like running to the bank.
That's good. You break this
little
habits.
Things like that. Yeah, it was a good mess. And let's see. Facebook or websites, PittsburghComics.com, due to the outstanding efforts of Josh.
Podcast questions.
Yes. Yes, please. And I feel bad. I got a question. And it was really weird because it was like Pittsburgh question form. It didn't say podcast on it. I'm like, does he want me to answer it on the podcast or directly? So I answered on the podcast last week, but
I'm going to make the question thing a bit more prominent.
Yeah, I feel I might need to answer him on... they're just here getting Pokemans, don't worry. Might need to email him back. But Facebook under Pittsburgh Comics, Twitter on...
rate us on iTunes.
At PGH Comics. That'd be awesome. I don't think anybody's done that in a long time. Instagram is at PGH Comics. I'll be posting a lot of the pictures of the books I'm pricing, because that's always fun when I, you know, it's, oh, first appearance of some bizarre person that I never heard about. Okay, I write it on a post-it note, take a picture, post it, and somebody, hey, could you set that aside for me?
Hugo Strange.
No, but not Hugo Strange, but some, you know, some silly things. I think it's all
I'm obsessed with watching this person over here trying to catch a Pokemon from their car.
Yep.
Like, it just drives... blows my mind that people are driving around like...
Oh, that's right. You were here last week, because last week it was all... Because you're the only one to park out right out in front, so they would just drive up through the parking spots, stop, do their thing, and move on. And it was just for all night long.
Well,
it was hilarious.
Right.
Yeah. No, they pull up sideways through the
lot. That's the thing you were saying yesterday, though. That's the only big problem with it, is they pull up into the spaces.
Yeah, like they'll take up all three spaces.
Seriously, just park.
This person must suck. They've been trying to catch this.
They're sitting there using the Pokestop.
Replenishing their balls.
They can do every 2 minutes it refreshes, so they can restock all their stuff that they're using.
I used my stuff. So.
That's a podcast.
We'll talk to you next week. I'll read more, I promise.